Welcome into the Cam and Strick podcast presented by Hair Club, baby. This is episode number 152. Welcome into the show.
You sound like shit.
Well, listen, I'm dealing with a very serious medical issue today. It's very serious.
What have you been doing? What'd you do all weekend? You sound very nasally, like fucking, what's that big, like, droopy motherfucker on Sesame Street? Snuffleupagus or something?
God. Listen, I'm dealing with seasonal allergies. I mean, when it's seasonal, Cam, do you know what that means? Like, certain times a year, it's like very,
no,
very
what hard. Does seasonal mean, Andy? Explain that to me.
It's very, very difficult to get through. My oxygen level, my breathing capacity, I would say, is probably closer to 35%. And that is not good. So I'm fighting.
You look funky.
It today.
You look funky.
I look good, actually. I got a new hat.
You look funky.
See,
that looks cool.
What do you think of my I'm going with the flat bill. I feel like the flat bill is more my style than like kind of like curving the bill, Cam. You know, I'm going with the flat bill.
The curve bill is more the construction worker type where you're wearing it to protect your head. You're taking it off all the time. You're putting it back on, like you're wearing it out. Like when you have a little flat cap bill, that just means you wear it in style, not more of a working environment. So yeah, I get what you're saying. But yeah, man, it's hot as shit, and I don't like it. It's hot in Missouri, and it's kind of weird as far as like it's getting late into September.
Yeah,
and I'm like, where the fuck is fall? I'm excited about Halloween, Andy. I really am. Mm-hmm. Very nerdy, but it is what it is.
Cam, look out in the mail because I'm inviting you to my Halloween party.
What if I don't want to go,
dude? You gotta come. Well, you can't say
a bunch of kids.
It's Halloween night, and you'll be here for my Halloween party.
But what
Halloween
if I
night.
Have my own shit I want to do? Why do I have to go to your house? I don't want to.
I just
go
invited
your house.
You. You can't.
Dude,
do that
how will
somebody.
You invite me on a different? How will you invite me on like a Wednesday night or something, middle of November? But
dude,
Halloween, like, I have my own thing I want to do here.
No, you can't do that. You can't, like, I invite you. You can't say no to my Halloween party, dude. You have to be here.
For what? Why do I have to be there?
Well, it's my Halloween party, dude. I'm inviting you. Are you saying no?
I appreciate you inviting me. I'm just telling you, like, I don't know if I want to go because I just, it's going to be awesome out here. You know, it's scary out here, kind of. There's graveyards. We'll have a bunch of side-by-sides. We're going to be cruising around. We kind of have a game plan.
Laurie's going to be very offended. Like, she's making a lot of different things, like you make for Halloween, whatever, like chili
like
and all
what,
that.
Like what, candy?
Oh, we're going to have fires and everything, dude. It's a Halloween party. You're invited. If you guys don't come, this is a big issue.
Okay.
Major issue.
All right.
Okay.
I'm just telling you right now, like, I'm weighing the options. I'm like, I don't know if I want to go.
Well,
and not that we don't like you guys. It's just more like, I don't know if
we
want to leave.
We won't continue to talk about
it. I'm sorry. You just threw that at me. And I'm like, gosh, that's just, I'm sorry.
Dude, we're having a party. You're invited
cool.
to the party.
I appreciate that.
So listen, my seasonal allergies that I'm dealing with, I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that I was outside all weekend. I'm with you, man. It's way too hot. Chloe had soccer all weekend, dude. Four games, tie at hockey twice. I mean, this is the life that I'm entering, Cam. It's just like running around, bang, 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 bang. I'm up at 6:30 in the morning on Saturday and Sunday. There's no sleep for the weary. And that's why I'm breathing at 35%.
Well, that's
capacity
the life
right
I
now.
Don't
I
want.
Hardly breathe.
That's the life I don't want, breathe. Andy. You tell me you're at 15 different soccer games, you're at softball, then you go to hockey practice. Like, that's what your life is. And it's going to be like that for a long, 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 long time.
We don't play softball.
Whatever. I mean, you're bouncing around. That's all it is. And I appreciate that. You're a good daddy. I just look at that and I'm like, although very cute. And I heard Chloe did a great job. She's scoring goals left and right. But I look at it like, I don't know. Kate and I, we like this golf or we want to go on a hiking trip or whatever. And I know you could do it with your kids too, but you are at practice all fucking day, all day, every day. And you coach other kids. That's your whole life is a rink and field or whatever it is. And you and many others, just like it was my dad's, but it slowed down whenever you move. I moved away young. So he didn't take me anywhere. He just had to listen. But up to that point, man, it's all every, and he only had one kid doing it. You got three doing it, dude.
Yeah, I know, man. And now with hockey season starting too, it's going to be. See, hockey's that one sport you just can't say, hey, like Laurie, take him to hockey practice.
No, I know.
Because she can't get all the equipment on and all that type. That's different than soccer.
Oh, really? You know? Yeah, you know what I mean? That's right. As right now, but when, okay, wait. When is Ty going to be like, okay, I know what the hell to do? When you're young, your grip strength isn't there to tie your skates tight. And I see a lot of these kids skating around. We were at the rink, all week last week. And you see these practices. I'm like, damn, their skates aren't fucking tied up top. Like, right, where they struggle to, like, get it tight. I tell some of my parents, like, try the wax laces. And it's just easier for the kids to be able to do it. But my question to you is, how old is Ty? He's 4 or 5?
Yeah, he's 5. And did I tell you?
When is he going to start putting his own shit on?
I don't know.
That's on you. I mean, what are the kids doing it?
That's not on me.
Well, what do you mean it's not on you?
They start doing it like around like 8 or 9. That's really? The word on the street. Now, can really? I tell you this? Let me tell you this. I just watched a video on how to tie ice skates. Like, it just popped up. It was like, here's how you do it. And I said to myself right off the bat, like, maybe I've been doing it wrong. Maybe I'm doing it right. Like, let's watch the video and find out like how you're supposed to tie your skates. So you're saying
you don't know
how
to tie skates? Everybody's different. That's not one way.
I saw a video. They were saying this is how you do it.
It's up to your. Look, when your kids aren't strong enough to be able to do it, you got to help them. But once they know how they want their style is, shit, Frankie Lassard, all y'all know what I'm talking about with this one who played against him, took a whole roll of fucking translucent tape and taped it around like he does his own way. And some guys like it loosey goosey. But I think he's 5. Okay, so he's got to wait. You got 3 more years of fucking putting his shit on him? Well, yeah, you don't think he's gonna be like, I know what to do, Dad. Get the fuck away from me. Maybe like help get my skates tight. But why do you have to do that when he's been doing it for five years?
Maybe they start putting. I don't know how it goes, but we'll find out. I'm gonna let you know.
Rink every goddamn day. What's everybody else doing? Are the other kids doing it themselves?
No, nobody.
So you're telling me when they're
at 5 years old, even dude, they're not getting themselves. I'm just saying. No.
We're 5 years old, and they've been playing hockey consistently for 3-4 years, and they're going to have to dress themselves, know how to dress themselves.
Well, he can
and I think
dressed.
That's on you.
Hockey
I don't
want to.
I don't want
to. Hockey dress is different. 4 years, dude. He hasn't been playing since he was 1. Okay, number one, he can get
when
himself
he turns 80. Will be
in general. Well, yeah, that's how it works. I think like 7, 8, 9. I heard 8 or 9.
I just asked somebody this
the other day. So anyway, so the video, real quick, here's how he says you're supposed to do it. So I watched the video because he timed himself. He skated from one blue line to the next, like 3 different times, Cam, and changed the way he tightened his skate each time. So he wanted to see which style of tightening his skates made him the fastest skater.
You would watch something like that and like look at it and be like, wow, this is fucking awesome.
Okay, so the first
what does that mean?
So the first time he did it loose, like on top of the toes, and then tightened it up tighter and tighter and tighter the higher he went up the boot, where it got really tight at the top. And he timed himself. Then he came back and he did it tight.
Yeah.
And like the 4 eye holes on top of the
whatever.
Foot. And then he went loose.
So what's the end game here? What's the end product?
He skated faster when it was looser around the ankle. So like what could that be possible?
Well, tell Pavel Bure that. Do you think his fucking ankles are loose? You see how he tied his skates back in the day? Again, Alexander McGillney the same way. Maybe Sergei Fedorov was a little different because he had the tongue out, you know, and he just kind of maybe everybody's different. That's my point, man. Like everybody has their own style of how they. Some guys have their shin guard over their tongue. Some guys tuck it in. I like mine tucked in. I actually didn't like it for a long time, but the only reason why I started doing that is because Stevie Ott did it, and I thought his style looked cool. And so He had his. I used to tape my tongue down in Windsor after practice. Tape my tongue down. Because Otter would have he just had a cool style when he was skating, and he had his shin pads tucked in with the tongues out. And in order to do that, you got to tape them and stuff. And I didn't like the feel of it at the beginning, but I got used to it and I loved it. And I can't do anything else. So everybody's different, man. Everybody's different. So, like, yeah, you could look at that and be like, oh, he's faster that way. But I don't know. I don't know what the fuck think of that. Like, you're wasting time watching people tie their puck. Like, come on.
He's got the video proof. I'm just telling you. Like, that's the way I'm tying my skates from now on. I'm going to go looser up top. I've always been going too tight. That's part of the problem. Too tight.
No, the problem is you're just slow. I mean, that's the problem. And nothing to do with your skates. It's just you're slow. It's all good. It's not going to matter. Like, don't waste your time. Like, you should watch something that says, how do I get the puck out of the zone? And give it up, kick it in the middle of the can. How do you do that?
I haven't seen that video yet.
Without trying to toe drag guys in a neutral zone.
I'm waiting for that video. All right.
Well, you don't do it.
Here's another issue that I'm having, Kim. My wife at the soccer games. Like, is she getting yippy?
Is she getting yippy?
She's getting way too loud.
She's getting a little loud. Well, you need to put your foot down on that too. That's on you again. All this shit, it boils down to you. You need to put your foot down and be in charge once in a while. You do. You need to tell Ty, learn how to fucking put your shit on. Laurie, look, settle down a little bit. All eyes are on us. We're chilling. We're trying to hide out. Settle down a little bit. Get a little too yippy. Is she going back and forth with the parents and stuff?
No, she's just screaming for Chloe, like cheering way too loud. Like, yeah. Way too loud. Can I give you a taste of this?
Yeah.
Okay, listen.
Would you record it? That's okay. She scored. She scored, dude. That's fine. She crying? Is she crying about it?
My baby. My baby.
Oh, God. That's okay. If Chloe scores and you go crazy, that's good. But if they're just like, run, wave that ref. What do you? You mind your own business over there. Then you're like, whoa.
No, dude.
Shit. And everybody's looking at you like, fucking get a hold of your girl, Andy. Get a hold of your fucking girl. But she celebrated Chloe scoring a goal. Like, that's cool.
So that's okay.
Yes, dude.
Well, she doesn't know enough to like argue with the refs.
Well, that could be the next step with her. The women go crazy, dude. And you know, they get a little more comfortable, and they get a little more calm. Then they're like, maybe I do know the rules. Maybe I am going to say something to the ref. She's going to like kind of go down different avenues of the yelling and screaming. But if she just focuses on Chloe and everything positive, then that's all good, Andy.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Because it gets a little like embarrassing, you know.
Well,
like,
you can always still put your foot down a little bit. Hey, you're at a 10. I want you at a 6, maybe.
Yeah. Just tone it. Just a one notch, two notches.
Just a couple. That's okay. My wife says it to me all the time. We're at a goddamn wedding all weekend. You know, and I walk in there and I talk just like, huh, and I guess kind of like, I always forget to like, Kate, you know, I got to bring her with me because I'm talking. You know how it is, dude.
Oh, yeah.
And so, you know, a couple of times she'd like, just tone it down a little bit. I'm like, okay.
Oh, really? What were you doing?
Well, just
because I'm liking this from Kate.
Talking to everybody. Talking to everybody. Oh, where Kate's like, hey, you want to sit down with our guests at our table and talk to them for a little bit, Cam? Come talk to these people sometime. I'm like, oh, okay. And I did it. There's a bunch of hockey dudes there. So I'm like, well, fuck. And Kate's like, can I be with you? Can you be my husband for 13 to 14 minutes over in this area? With the people that I kind of want to, and I'm like,
yes,
girl, you know what I'm going to say to that? I will do that.
I did. Phenomenal. This is an incredible move by Kate. And then for you to like recognize that. And
I recognized it.
Because you know
and
what?
And I was fucked up.
No,
because I still recognized it.
I deal with the same situation, Cam, because sometimes you go to places, well, you go to public events, you go to weddings, whatever, okay? And it's like right when you get there, it's like the first person you see, you say hello, and you're not even past the doorway. I want to get in the mix. I need to make my rounds. I need to get to the bar, whatever.
And my wife, I need to get a cocktail.
Oh, she'll start this like 30-minute conversation right inside the door. But we can't even get past the like entryway. I'm like, okay, we got to go.
Give me that cocktail.
I'm not doing anything.
I beeline it. I'll put my head down and be like, and like act like you're drinking, and you go right to just get a couple cocktails. Then it's like, all right, let's go. But I do like, but Kate's, you know, Kate, if I leave, if I'm just, I get off and talking to a bunch of dudes, and like, you know, she's just, You know what else I do that's a dickish, and I don't mean to do this, and I even noticed I did this to Kate and her lovely friend, but I was talking to guys like, and you know how it's packed, and I don't know if you
what's
guys
her friend's name? What's her friend's name?
Oh, God, the most beautiful girls. Oh, because my buddy, his wife's like 10 years younger, no. And like that was like a very good looking wedding. So like I had to put my head down a couple times. But the point is, I block people out in conversations on accident. I turn my back to, let's say, Kate and her two friends who like, I need to be like, hey, me. But I turn because I'm talking to guys on this side, and I just put my big stupid ass back in their face on accident. And then Kate will be like, tap, tap. Like, can you turn around, please, and open yourself up? Like 10 and 2 and on the wall. Can you open so you're not blocking us out of the conversation you're having?
What you're doing is you're doing the Jager to these people.
That's exactly what it is. I stick my ass out like I'm blocking them out.
Oh, yeah.
It's the most
rude. You're doing the Jager. You can't, I can't believe you do that.
It's a rude because it's three of Kate's girls, and then I'm talking to the guys on the left, and I just, it's just in a Kate, you'll have to give me that little doot doot. And I'm like, oh, I could sit back. I get what you're here. Everybody listen to the conversation, not be a dick. And, and then block the girls out, you know?
All right. Listen,
which
you
sometimes
need, like,
you gotta do, though.
You've been hunkered down in your, I told you, dude, you got to start leaving your house because now you're going to social, like, occasion.
I don't know how to socialize.
You don't know how to handle yourself.
I know. It's embarrassing.
You need social etiquette, like 101.
But I figured it out. I figured it out. It's like you adapt on the wall in a game where I'm like, fuck, this thing's coming up the wall too. Oh, maybe I'll turn my hips this way. I did it. But I've been doing it. I recognize when Kate gets mad at me in public, not mad, but just she recognizes. And I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah. And I shake my hips this way. I do this. I stop talking about a certain whatever, and I'm good. There's a lot going on, Andy. There's a lot that goes on.
I know.
It's not just you go there and just fucking chill.
Dude, hold on. Are you coming to the Halloween party or not?
Man, no, dude.
I want to know right now.
Why would I want to do that, though?
Dude, I invited you to the Halloween party, and I'm sensing you're not coming.
I don't want to leave, dude. It's going to be beautiful out here and, like, creepy and, like, you know, we got our side-by-side.
We'll continue talking.
What am I going to do there? Are you going to make me chili? Like, I'm like, fuck, I'm making my own fucking chili out here, baby. I'm going to put some fucking meat in that mug, too.
We'll probably have some veggie chili, dude.
Be awesome.
Some veggie.
Yeah, I'll drive all the way out there for that. Too.
Well,
I mean, it's going to be a bunch of kids, too, and I love your kids. Like, don't get me wrong, but I don't know if I love your kids' buddies. I don't know if, like, Ty's buddies are, like, you know, it's just like, okay, I don't know.
Andy, hot cider, hot cider.
Andy, that's something. I can make my own fucking hot cider. I can make all kinds of, Kate and I are going to have Halloween decorations out the wazoo. I want to show that off, baby.
I'll have something.
I ain't going to your house.
I'm having a Halloween party. I'm inviting
you. That's good, man. That's fine.
So I highly recommend you come. All right, back to the wedding real quick. I know you were stressing out the other day. I mean, really stressing out. Again, I know I had to calm you down again. Like, you're just, like, literally freaking. I'm worried about your, like, stress level. You had no clothes to wear. You said you were going shopping. Like,
I went shopping. Well, my weight fluctuates all the fucking time. I'm like, it fluctuates all the time. It's very, very, I look awkward in certain things. I still want to have like that slim fit look, but sometimes it fits very bizarre. I have to get weird. I'm all over the fucking place. And it's stressful sometimes because you can't just because if something doesn't fit me, Andy, it's going to be like my ball sack hanging out too much because it's tight in my crotch region because my pants don't fit well. Or my chest is so my nipples stick out farther because my shirt should be bigger than what it is. And I'm just like, it's actually very embarrassing. Another embarrassing thing that Kate and I have to go through. Sometimes your pants are too tight and things happen. They're never too big. There's nothing too big. They're always too damn tight. And that could be very embarrassing. Pictures, social media. Just walking around a fucking place with people looking at you. Everybody's evaluating everybody. And then they look at me and like, oh, my God, weird looking.
Dude, the shirts are very important because if it's too tight in that chest, like, it's just – that's not the look you're going for.
You could look funky. You could look fucking weird.
The scariest thing you could encounter nowadays, honestly, is, like, in these changing rooms, like, the mirrors. These mirrors, I don't know what they do to you.
They make me look god-awful. in weird spots that you're not used to looking at in your body. And I'm like, oh, yeah. What the fuck? I'm like, oh God. My lower
back. It's like a 360 degree angle. Like they get everything inside those changing rooms.
I'm pale. I didn't even go outside that much this summer for some odd reason, man. It was weird. I'm still pale, so I have a golf line, but I never really took my shirt off anywhere. We didn't even do anything. Kate and I wait until it gets cold to go down to Table Rock, get the boat, and just cruise around. Rent a boat, of course. I'm not going to have some dude drive us. But that's going to be nice.
No, I could probably help you out with that, actually.
Yeah, give me one of your buddies. I want more guys on that thing.
Dude, I'm just messing around. I was just curious. Like, the price of boats, unnecessary.
Monster expensive. They hold their value.
I looked it up. No, they don't. That's the problem. They don't hold the value.
Brandon, no. The fuck they don't? The fuck are you talking about? Boats don't hold their value? Yes, they do. Look at the price ranges. Go look at an 02 38-footer. That thing's going to be fucking expensive as shit. Okay. Now, anything you buy brand new is going to lose value one way or the other. But when you tack off a couple years in that thing, like those boats hold their fucking value. Look online. They're all expensive as shit. Talking about. Now, they're a fucking money pit. They're a money pit. You can say that. Like, your engine's going to go. Your shit's hitting. You hit waves, especially the Lake of the Ozarks, and you hit the bam, bam, bam. Shit's going to be done. But they hold their fucking value.
Does Car Shield cover boats? Does Car Shield cover boats?
I don't know. I don't know.
But I mean, 2002, I wasn't looking at the O2s. I mean, I hope with like a new one, you're not having to, you know, replace the engine for another 20 years or so, you know?
Well, it depends on how many hours the engine has on, dude. But you're not looking at new boats anyway, dude. What are you going to spend?
No, I'm not buying one.
The boat that you rented at Mark, or that thing's a fucking $80,000, $100,000 boat. How was it, like a 36-footer?
36. Chris Craft, dude. Probably
that thing, a brand new, is probably 300 grand.
At least.
It's a fucking house.
At least, the man.
Poor part of the do. How about Chara going to an island?
I know. Well, you know, good for him. I knew he was going to stay in the East. And, man, that defense in general is pretty big. And these guys play even bigger than they really are. I mean, just in terms of how good and how physical they are, how long they are, how tough it is to get around some of those guys. And they play physical, man. I loved watching the Islanders in the playoffs. Like, that's a team that I will watch. You know, like,
on any given
night, I will watch the New York Islanders. And you know what? Like, a guy like Lou, like, he understands what it takes to win a championship. And he knows not only how close they are, but how far away they are. What they need off the ice, in the room, on the ice, obviously, specific situations. Yeah, man. So you bring in a guy like Chara, like, I'll be interested to see what kind of impact he could have with that team that's already good.
It's perfect. It's going to be a perfect situation. And they have like a 13-game road trip right off the bat, Andy, because their rink, I guess, getting done. The rink looks awesome, too. They got a lot of good things going for them. And there was another stat that came out that, they were the most watched something or something kind of just – I don't know, something cool. I forgot. That's, I don't know what the hell. Hey, what about this take on what the Blues have to what they're going to decide to do with the vaccination or 72-hour proof of non-COVID test? What are you hearing? You know, of course, they're going to have a little bit of backlash from a lot of people probably. But I think you got to just do what you got to do. Mm-hmm. Is it, you know, but it is kind of goofy that you kind of have to do that, but because 72 hours, like, okay, well, I'll get my test and you know, I'm going to go down to Lake of the Ozarks. I'm going to jump in that fucking cesspool and have a makeout orgy and then have time to even come back and go to a fucking with my test. That's already negative. Like, so you're like 72 hours are a long time to go get COVID.
Well, that's a long time, but in reality, they're encouraging fans to go make sure that you're negative. Number one,
just make sure you're negative. Yeah.
And also, you know, like encouraging people to, hey, maybe it'd be less of a hassle to go get vaccinated. But they're not saying that you have to have it.
Because a franchise tells you to go get vaccinated. You're like, oh, okay. Like there's reason why people don't do it. So what I'm saying is they're not all from Podunk Town, you know, Franklin County either.
No, there's a lot of places require a negative test of 24 hours.
That's yeah.
So you know what I'm saying? Like they're so loosening that up a little bit. They're not making you run to go get tested the day before the game, which is giving you a 3-day window. Is what I'm saying. I think it's the most difficult and hardest thing to ask.
To go get a test. I agree with you on that. No doubt. Yeah. 72 hours? Like what I kind of made the point that you can go get yourself into fucking COVID trouble. 72 hours is a long time. That's all I'm saying. So it's just kind of like, okay, but just go get it done. Show your thing if you don't want to get vaccinated. Yeah. Maybe your wife's getting pregnant. Maybe this, maybe that. What the fuck ever. Yeah. I don't give a fuck. You like it, boom. You don't like it, boom. I'm just like, do what the fuck you got to do. Yeah. You know, but know that this is what's going to happen with the Blues made the decision. The city probably had something to do with it. It is what it is. 72 hours ain't a big deal if you want to get a negative test and prove yourself. But certainly don't get vaccinated because an organization tells you to. Like you do, you talk to your own fucking doctor and figure it out. Like that's ridiculous. But, you know, they say, man, you got to go. If you have it's one or the other, 72 hours is fine.
Yeah,
but it's going to piss off a lot of people, too, though. Don't get me wrong.
And it's what it is. I mean, like, hey, listen.
I have nothing to do.
They've been talking about this for weeks. Some people in the organization probably felt like, hey, you know what? Let's not make it a requirement to be vaccinated or have a negative test. Other people probably said, no, I think we absolutely should. Yep. You're seeing a lot of other teams do this right now, man.
Yeah, Nashville, 17, 18 Buffalo,
just to name a few. And a lot of concerts in place like that, that's what I'm talking about. You go to a concert. Some consoles require you to have a negative test within 24 hours. I mean, so they're not making it that difficult on the fan. The one thing I think most people probably are concerned with a little bit is how long it's going to take to get inside these buildings. I mean, not just in St. Louis, but anywhere.
Yeah.
In terms of the process of showing your verification, hey, that here's my vaccination card or here's my negative test, and how they just keep these lines funneling in, because that's important.
Can I say something?
You don't want fans to feel like they're going to have to go through some big major hassle just to go to a game anywhere.
And listen to me on this. And Andy, me and you are pretty like down the middle on shit. Now I'm like, you know, I'm from a fucking Howe Springs, Missouri too. Okay. Like I've learned a lot in the last 5 years being around different people growing up from different areas, you know, all over the spectrum when it comes to politics or whatever the case is. But the one thing I do fucking know, whether you're one side or the other, you never want to fucking boycott a goddamn organization that is so fucking dumb. And only if you say that, don't go to these games because they do this, fuck you. You fucking, not just because they're not supporting the Blues, but people aren't going downtown. That means like Maggie O'Brien's and getting fucking, all our buddies that own businesses down there, all these families that work their ass off, they need the Blues to be healthy. They need the Cardinals to be healthy. This whole fucking area, your job, you St. Louis people, you don't, it all trickles down. All this shit trickles down. The more healthier the city is, the healthier you're going to be. It all comes down and boils down and trickles off in this goddamn town if you live here. Don't ever root against companies not to make money and hold fucking people not to go because of a decision like that half the league's doing anyway, whether they want to or not. You think all they all wanted to do that? You don't think they want to fucking do this? Hell no. Sometimes you just got to do it, but don't boycott them. That's so fucking stupid. Sorry.
So can I just throw this out there real quick?
Damn. Yeah.
I think teams are going to regret not trading for Vladimir Tarasenko. I'm going to tell you.
Oh, you're hitting it. Okay, you're going on a different one. Okay, I hear you.
I'm going there because you know what?
I see what you're saying. Okay.
This guy is, I've never seen, and I've had people tell me they've never seen Tarasenko look this good in terms of his conditioning, where he's at. I think you have a really good player. Oh, yeah, this guy's driving.
Are you
like
bird watching again? Are you there? Are you allowed to go in the locker room bird watch?
No, people are telling me, man. People are telling me.
Okay.
Well, I mean, I don't know what the rulings are on that, but I was down there watching the prospects and stuff like that. But no, people are absolutely raving about how he looks, man. His conditioning, apparently he's dropped like 20 pounds.
Oh, he's like on a mission, probably.
He's on a mission, dude. I think he
might realize that's what I mean. He's probably like, I fucked up. I need to get my style. I need to get my reputation back. I need to get my swag back. I'm gonna do everything I can do. Sometimes you become content when you're making a ton of money. And everything's going okay, and the Blues are so good for so long, and Vladdy's like on top of the world. You can get a little cocky, you can get a little of this. We all get it. But once you get humbled a little bit, just like they did, boom, like his shoulder and all that, just got humbled. And all of a sudden, he's like, fuck, I need to do what I got to do. And he's probably busting his ass, man. He knows it's a – look, I don't care how good you are. Like, it comes to an end quick. Mm-hmm. And she, you know, like well, he comes to an end quick.
He's a pretty sensitive guy, right?
Yeah, he is.
You know him, whatever. Like, that's kind of how he is. So, listen, I know he loves the fans here in St. Louis. And I know he loves playing for the Blues and being a Blue and having won the Stanley Cup here, having all these memories, being drafted here, you know. And I don't think it just didn't play out probably the way that he wanted it to, obviously, in the offseason. Not only the fact that he didn't get traded, but just how everything was kind of presented. And I just think you have a motivated player. He didn't get moved. I don't know how it's going to end up. You know, I would imagine he probably will get moved at some point. But I think this season has the potential for him to play at a level that maybe we haven't seen him play at over the course of the last couple of years because of injury, man. And I'm really interested to see how this guy plays and the type of season he's about to have.
I hope he goes bar down, baby. The old Vladdy going shooting from weird angles, just scoring, finding ways, you know, bumping guys off the puck, you know, taking it to the net. Yeah, we'll see.
We'll find out. So I'm throwing that out there. Now, James Neal and you know,
the real deal, he's supposed to be a good dude. Man. I know. He's a real good dude. Yeah. I think I hung out, he's supposed to be an awesome cat. Yeah. PJ Crombie loves his fucking ass.
Oh, yeah. Well, the Blues have a couple of they've got players on the roster they can move. So listen, this is the thing about Doug Armstrong. People need to understand this about Doug Armstrong. He doesn't care who you are. Like, he's taking the best players regardless. Like, it's not like these guys are just coming here, Michael Frolik and whatever, and James Neal. I'm not going to sit here and make any predictions. I do think there's the ability to make a move if they want to keep him. But Doug Armstrong's not bringing him here just so they can find a place to practice and get on the ice, man. If he looks good, and if Army truly believes he's one of the top 23 players there again, he's keeping him.
Oh, yeah.
He'll sign him. I know.
Even though he had
a down year last year or whatever. James Neal can score. He's good on the power play. And
he's good in the locker room. He's standing in front of the net. He's got a good shot. Is he slow? Maybe right now. He's probably slow. Do the Blues need to get slower? I don't know. No.
They need to get quick.
They need to get quicker.
Yeah.
You never want to get slower, Andy. So I don't know if that how that – and Frolik, I don't know where he's at with the speed. It's all about your speed. I mean, that's all it is. Like, we know you got a good shot. We know you know where to go with the puck. We know you know you're smart. You're fucking good. You're a cool cat. Where's your quickness? Can you go from here to there and get around cats? Yes or no? Do you still got it or you don't?
Yeah, so I like seeing when you veteran get older. Players get an opportunity and whatever. Hell so we'll see. I mean, it makes training camp interesting. You know?
I've seen Lou's done this to so many guys where he'll just invite the guy in, and all of a sudden you're like, fuck, he makes a goddamn team. He bumps somebody down.
Yeah.
He doesn't care.
Have done that in the past. They had a couple of guys they brought in who they didn't keep. In,
Whitney Biz, and Biz? Biz. Oh, it's so funny. We love them.
Jesus, I know. It just think what it would have been. It would have been incredible to have those guys around for a
fuck. Yeah. That would be hilarious. Anyway, this would be, oh my God. You might as well do that. If they were shitty and it's like, might as well just keep a couple of these guys.
I think it's safe. It's hilarious. I think their podcast was really born here in St. Louis when they were hanging together.
I think we've asked them. I forgot what they said.
I know. But I mean, they were hilarious, man. They were
fucking right.
All right, man. We got Radko Gudas.
Yeah, dude.
I like this guy. Listen, there's certain, you know, personalities and people that they interest me. Like, what are they all about? Like, you watch them play, they're either like incredible offensive players, whatever. They do crazy stuff on the ice in terms of some people just snap and lose their mind. They get suspended all the time, whatever. Whatever it is, I want to like
got a little bit of everything in him, doesn't he?
And I think you're going to learn a lot about Radko Gudas, who you probably don't know much about. And you're going to learn something about him. This is a great conversation, man. I truly enjoyed this one.
Yeah, you're going to learn that, like, just in case somebody looks like Satan on the ice, doesn't mean they're a bad dude. Like, he's crazy on the ice. And, like, he has that face and that style with the white skates. If you're an opposing fan, I hated him. And I played against him in minors. I'm like, you know, and he kind of gets you up high. And I try to get him up. Like, he fucking get you. But then you talk to him like, oh, he's a good guy. Okay, yeah, you're normal. You're not normal on the fucking ice. You look crazy. You act crazy. And you'll catch guys. And now they're always thinking about you. But off the ice and your teammates absolutely love you. This is a perfect example of that.
I know.
Nah, man. I mean? Nah, I mean?
Oh, yeah. No, listen. And like people who knew him back in the day, like even his agent, he's like, dude, he looked like that when he was 15, 16 years old. Exactly. The way
his daddy's a badass athlete, yep, too.
And he came over to the Dub, played in the Western Hockey League.
Yeah, he's Americanized a little bit. North Americanized, I should say. Like the tough, fuck you, let's go. He'll fight. Not good at fighting. He's not good at fighting. And he knows that. He got Superman punched a couple times. Still love you, though. You're still
getting better. He's gotten better.
He's gotten better. He's still, you understand, he's still strong enough to, like, unless you really know what you're doing, which a lot of guys don't anymore, he's just going to throw you down anyway. You can't beat him up. He's too big and strong. He's a strong motherfucker. He's got that crazy fucking dad strength, man. Like, his daddy was strong as shit. When your dad's strong, you're going to be strong for the most part.
Mm. Really?
Your dad's strong. I'm just sad.
How strong will Ty be?
What? No,
Ty's gonna be strong.
Well, he's gonna fucking tie his own skates here coming up, dude. That's unacceptable. I might have to have a little fucking family meeting.
I don't know why you think that kids.
I'm just saying. Well, why can't he be? Well, I'm just saying.
They don't do
Maybe
that.
Maybe I don't know. Maybe I don't know.
No, you don't know.
Okay,
you
I don't do know. Know. I don't know.
I mean,
but
you don't know
I don't. No, bro. Fuck. What? I don't know skates. I remember tying my rollerblades when I was about 6 years old. But whatever. But that's all good.
Rollerblades are a little maybe different.
They're the kind of same thing.
I'm tying his rollerblades too.
That's okay. But eventually, you should probably be like, here, just tie them. Hence the name. Tie these mugs.
Do you know kids at 5 years old don't even know how to tie their own shoes?
No shit.
Like, yeah. Oh yeah, they don't even know.
I didn't know.
They don't even.
Okay.
They don't even learn
sorry.
How to tie their own shoes.
I am out of touch. I'm out of touch. I'm probably gonna get chirped for this.
Eight
I'm sorry.
Or nine.
I just okay, but when he, but eventually though, like how about he does everything else besides tie the skates? Like, can he put his fucking?
Oh yeah, no, he can. Can
he pick his helmet up?
Oh yeah.
Can he put his helmet and pick the strap?
Take his helmet off. Yeah, he can take his helmet off.
Oh, that's cool. Okay, well, shoulders, he could just put them on like... Put the elbows on, put the jersey on. Sometimes I need help putting a jersey on. Sometimes I need help putting it over the ship. I was like, God, somebody get that. Somebody get that. Then they have to... So I get it. All right. I'm out of touch, man. I'm sorry.
Hey, you're so out of touch.
I'm going to get ridiculed by the guy. It's all good. I admit it. I admit when I'm wrong, and I'm probably wrong on that, but I still... have to keep an eye on it. I still have to keep an eye on it. I evaluate. Okay, so, it's easy to evaluate when you don't have kids.
Mm-hmm. So I'm looking at the Evite that I'll be sending you out. I didn't tell you it's a costume party. So think about a costume too, Cam.
I already got a badass fun costume. It has nothing to do with where I'm going with you in that night. It's going to be a creepy ass thing that I got going. I'm going to scare children out here. Okay. No one's scared where you live where there's 50 houses everywhere. 50 house. You have one tree. You talk about, like, out here, they're fucking graveyards and, like, wolves and shit, fucking werewolves cruising around the fucking moon last night. I'm like, I was thinking I was going to see a werewolf. I don't know if I did or not. It scares the shit. There's crazy shit out here, haunted as fuck. UFOs, because of the nuclear power plant, they're addicted to those for some reason. They're, like, attracted to them. But I'm staying out here. I'm not going to go to your house.
I invited you to a Halloween party. It's a costume party, a Halloween party, dude. We'll see you then. And we're going to have some hot cider.
You can keep inviting me all you want. I mean, I don't know what that – if you invite me like three or four more times, does that change something?
Well, we'll talk about that. We'll just keep talking about it. All right, let's get to Radko. I'm looking forward to this interview. I want people to hear this about Radko Gudas, man. He really is he's a different one.
He's a good dude. He's a different one on the fucking ice. But when you talk to him off the ice, he's just normal.
He's normal.
He's just a normal dude.
He's like a
but
baby
on the
Roman
ice, he's a
Pollock.
Fucking psycho.
Baby Roman Pollock.
Every time you say Roman Pollock, you know.
I know what you think of.
It's disturbingly big.
Yeah.
That son of a bitch.
Hair Club. Brings you the Cam and Strick podcast. Everyone knows that. The Cam and Strick podcast brought to you by Hair Club. Cam, I was looking at your hair in your wedding photos. Who tied your tie, by the way?
Oh, well, see, the shirt was too...
too big.
Too small. No, too small on my neck. So I'm like an 18 neck.
Are you?
Yeah. And it was, so I couldn't do the button all the way. So I just did my tie a little bit, blah, blah, blah. At that point, I didn't give a fuck. And, but my front of my hair looks good. I went to, I did Hans Wyman. That's, you know, an offshoot of Hair Club. Hair Club's the big dogs. They're down in Boca. Awesome company. Huge company. Helps out so many people. So many people that you don't even, you know, but you didn't know. But didn't you figure it out because of how many different options they have? I've been through a couple of them, by the way, and it was like the easiest procedure. They keep you updated on everything. Play, I mean, there's so many different people that you – and you kind of just you get a procedure done, and over time, like, oh, people just start noticing it, but they don't notice it right off the bat because it's a gradual thing depending on what you want to do, Andy. And eventually you're going to need to do it too, Andy. I'm seeing nice – you know I still have a cul-de-sac in the back of my head, and I'm going to have to talk to our boys, Hair Club for Men, and be like, hey, let's stick in that bad boy up, baby. You might get to that point a little bit. Ty might be good, but it's okay. This is our title sponsor, baby. Like, if your hair's going out, you're like, oh, who can I call? I wonder. Let's see here. They got so many damn options. And, you know, you might need it too. It's okay. It's okay. It's well, okay.
No, I'm perfectly fine. Like, no, listen, like, you read their credentials. I mean, 1,200 North American locations. So yeah. Anybody out there, man, you're close to a Hair Club location, no matter where you're at. Over 1,100 healthcare professionals. Now, this is what I like, Cam, because I want you to break this down for me. Over 700 combinations of personalized solutions. Like, they have. Now, what is that?
Well, shit, you got 700. Well, meaning, like, you could do a thing where you put this hat on. They have a hat, and you press a button, and all of a sudden, you'll just, like, you know, electrify, but like put all these like things in your air, like
stimulation.
That's what it is. Then you'll have another thing where you could do PRP, where it takes your blood and it wraps it up and it gets like the good protein out of there, and then you inject it into your scalp.
Right. I've done that before. So many different options. Lots of different.
You could do. I mean, on and on and on and on and on. You got shampoos. You got conditioners. You have just a million. All you have to do is go to a place, honestly, and it's actually – it's very comfortable. When you go in there, everybody's very sweet. You walk in, you sit down, and they, like, touch your head and, like, oh, let me – and they kind of move your hair, like, well, we'll work. And I'm like – you. It's like getting, like, a head massage, but evaluating what you need, and it's, like, the most lovely thing in the world. I love that stuff. I'm like, oh, can you keep looking around up there, like, oh.
No, they can do implants. They can do so many different things.
Millions of options. And
they can do a lot of different things.
Here's the hard thing. It's an initial interaction. When you go talk about your hair, who gives a fuck? Just get it. Go in there and talk to them. You'll feel comfortable as all hell. And then all of a sudden, you sit down. Let them explain it to you. We all go through it. I'm telling you. And the people that don't with the thick hair, screw them anyway. It's about us. We're all a team together. And I'm telling you, when you go in there, you'll feel comfortable, and they'll give you a million different options.
What's the name of that team?
What do you mean? The losing your hair at a young age team. And it's depressing. And when you look in the mirror and your hair falls out, it fucking sucks, Andy. Like, it really does. Like, it's like, God damn it. They're like, man, like, what do I do? Like, well, you got options. You got and you know, if there's a big option, they will, you don't have to pay all at once either, by the way. So you don't.
No, you don't.
No, you can finance the mug.
You can finance it.
You could jump in once in a while, Andy,
yeah,
too.
You can
jump
well,
in.
I'm
here,
just, you're,
finance
I'm
just, the motherfucker.
Yeah, finance.
Hey,
I'm
you
just
might
watching.
Be doing
Hey,
you can chirp me all you want. You know, I'm up. I'm open about my bald spot. I would be balder than the fucking darn
I would
right
love
now
for them
if
just
I
to
didn't
like...
get. Dude, I still got hair to move around and stuff like that, man. And I might get another surgery too. I might get it done.
Do you shake your head when you get out of the pool?
Look, I ain't there, homie. Like I'm a fucking, you know, Eddie Vedder, 1992 at Pink Pop, fucking headbang. I ain't him. Do I wish I was at times? Sure. Sure I do. Do I wish I had that thick-ass fucking hair? Sure. Sure I do. Do all y'all that have a little receding hairline thinking the same as me? Yes, you do. And some guys are more open about it than others, but, like, it's hard to talk about your hair, dude. I don't give a shit about anything, so I'll talk about it. I've been dealing with this for a long time, but I'm telling you, it's easier than you think. You just got to get in there and talk to people.
Yeah, like, yeah. My neck size, by the way, is 15.
I mean, you got an 18, dude. That's like, that's like an offensive.
Is that more of a chirp of me, or is that more of a chirp of you?
Well, that's more of a chirp of you for sure. I mean, you have, mine's normal.
Next jack?
15 and a half, something like that.
I'm an 18.
You're at like center.
What did
you're like
I
a
say?
Center on the Buffalo Bills who plays center offensive line.
When your neck looks big, that's proportionate to where the rest of your body is. If the guy's got a big neck, he's probably pretty fucking strong. Your neck's big, your traps are big, your back's strong, and it goes down that way. When your neck's not big and your body's big, like some of them Jersey boys. When they get a big fucking biceps, love all y'all. Don't get me wrong, love you, but some of y'all have the big biceps, tiny ass fucking legs, and then that little neck. Boy, get your neck big first. Look at all those shit kicking wrestlers, man. I told you, Ty, get that neck big. That helped. That made me so damn strong, grabbing guys, hitting guys. Your neck is proportionate to your whole body. So no, you're chirping yourself, little neck. That means you're not strong. So like every time Bobby, Chaser, myself, we touch you on the ice, you go down like a fucking bag of potatoes and bitch about it for 4 weeks. If your goddamn neck was stronger, you'd be able to take some of those hits. Your head goes like this, kaboosh, against the glass because you just have no – it's like a fucking little bobblehead. Like, I got nothing to support me. Start doing shit.
Dude,
fucking shrugs and shit, dude. God,
I need you to get that down to like a 17.
Worry about my belly. Like my neck is my neck's big. My shoulders are the worm in my fucking gut. How about I wear my pants? Get to a 36 and a 38.
If you can get it down to like a 16 and a half, that'd be even better. But 16 and a half, 17, I'll take that, right, dude. It's way too big. It's just way too big.
My neck's not big because I'm fat. My belly's big because I'm fat. My neck's big because I'm fucking a big dude. Your neck's small because you're a small dude.
Little neck.
You little neck. It's like a little dinosaur. I've seen that movie back in the 90s, Little Neck. Remember that little dinosaur movie, Land of the Lost or something? I used to love Little Neck.
I missed that
little
one.
Neck. Hey, Little Neck, Little Neck.
Did you watch the Emmy Awards last night?
Fuck no. Jesus, waste my fucking time. Watching fucking Sunday Night Football, baby. Two of the best quarterbacks in the league, worth $1 billion combined, probably.
Oh my God.
They went toe to toe. They went toe to toe last night. It was a badass game.
I always like try to like wonder like, you know, what position I would want to play in the NFL, you know, if I wanted to play.
Or you want to be the man. You want to be the man, and that's the quarterback position. You're the quarterback. You're the fucking man. You run the show. It's all about you. It's all about protecting you. You run the show. The camera's on you. The media's on you. You and the diva fucking wide receivers, but the quarterback's the main dude. That's what you want to be.
Is there any position in sports that comes even close?
Not even close. That's a great question.
As difficult as being a quarterback in the NFL, dude. Every time somebody gets hurt, they bring in the backup, and the backup can't even play, dude.
Like it is.
Like these guys are freaks. These guys are freaks. NFL quarterbacks are absolute.
So they're worth $500 million. So they're worth $500 million now.
You ever heard like Mahomes
signed for $500 million? I mean, he's the most important guy. He's one of the most popular athletes going. He made a little bit under Conor McGregor, but he's up there in fucking big dog shit. And his brother's a fucking weirdo. Eh? His brother dumped water on some fan last night. Remember when I chirped his brother? His brother's so goofy, which I shouldn't chirp too much because he might not. I don't know. I don't know if I'm on, but remember they showed him in like Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl. Was down by like 20, and they show his brother in the box, and he's doing
TikTok.
I'm like, this fucking guy, my brother never craved attention, ever wanted to steal attention, never did that.
Yeah,
and I could just see
the water,
this motherfucker. You throw the water down, and he does TikTok videos while your fucking brother's down by 20. And it's just like you don't get it, do you, little nerd boy? Anyway, I'd be like, okay, you're not allowed to go to the games anymore,
dude. You'd have no chance. Like the offensive coordinator gives you the play call, and you have to repeat that to the rest of the huddle. Dude, these play calls are so long. It's
that's why I didn't like football. I told you, I didn't like football. I was inside linebacker and fullback, and all you're doing is like, inside linebacker is kind of cool, but I just run up through the fucking gap, whether they went outside or not. I'm like, I didn't like our fullback because he was a big, handsome fucking asshole to me. He was 3 years older. Tony Moore, I love you, fucking military boy. But at the time, I was so jealous of him. He kicked my ass in wrestling. I couldn't get varsity when I was a freshman because this fucking guy, 171. Then he was a stud fucking football player. So every time I wanted to hit him in practice so hard. And he was so big and tough. But in games, they're like, when I played fullback, they go right down the middle here. And he's go, okay, go boom, that's over. Now go this way. Okay, boom, go hit. It's over.
When, what, hockey, when you're a fullback?
You're a fullback. And even when you're just like, it's all this draw. It's like 2 seconds and done. Or in hockey, you could have your own style. You could put your thing back. You could be this. You could be that. I'm going to score now. I'm going to fuck this. Fight this guy. I can go buckets off in front of everybody. All the attention's on me. I can go run this guy through there. You have freedom. Like when you play in juniors, like I'm playing football and all of a sudden I go to Canada and play in Windsor and you're like, you go on the ice and warm, you're flipping your stick around. You're doing this. You could be loud. You like football's like, do this, do that. Boom, stop. Unless you're the fucking quarterback where you could back away. You know, it's just not as fun, in my opinion, as hockey. But I love watching.
Hold on.
I love watching.
These guys are having so much fun. Running backs, wide receivers, defensive backs. They're dancing around after every play, Cam. What are you doing? You act like they're not having fun out there?
I never said they're not having fun. I said I didn't have fun. Oh, it was not as fun as hockey. Listen, I was playing hockey. Of course I'm having fun. They're making a ton of money. I'm just saying, as far as the sport, to go pick up and go play football, you run a route and you stop. You run a route and you stop. You run a route and you get fall. In hockey, it's like, go do your motherfucking thing for a couple minutes.
Yeah, because
the sport's funner to play.
I know. Well, I played wideout. I played cornerback. I played on both sides of the ball. So I know like a little bit about offense and defense. Okay. Cornerback on the defensive side. And then wideout. I was actually a wingback when we had that.
We've already been on for now. You don't.
My freshman year. So, Cam. Listen, I liked hockey more too. It was just, I don't know. I felt like I wasn't going to make it like in football. You know what I mean?
You weren't going to make it in either one of them. I mean, but the sport's more fun to play.
Football is fun, man. You can't like, there's something about the passion. These guys get a lot of attention. I know what you're saying, but like, that's why we love watching it, dude. It can't be that much fun to watch and then that miserable to play. Come on.
It's easy to watch. There's so many storylines, so much drama. There's so many, it's
fun though. It's fun just to watch.
As far as
entertaining.
Like, you think if you're an offensive lineman, that's the most boring fuck position in any sport. Like, it's boring. Like, you're like, what fans like, God, I love, besides maybe left tackle, fucking keep whatever. But like, I love watching you push that guy. Or in hockey, it's like, man, you could be fucking, you're cruising around, you have a style, you could be one thing one day, you could do it. I don't know.
No, that's just, not compared to
I don't know.
I get it.
Well, those are that's two sports compared. that I played. Of course I'm going to compare. It's like in soccer, soccer too. In hockey,
offensive
man,
line, dude, but with that neck size, that's where I think I'd put you right now. If I'm putting together my football team, you're probably now playing center or guard. I guess you'd be the other.
I'd be a linebacker.
Where would you put me if we were putting together the team?
I'd put you in left out. I'd be like, get the a sideline reporter. It's all the cute girls going out with them at the sideline. Give us a little injury updates on people.
Training camp is opening up, dude, in a couple days. Is that crazy or what?
I hear you. Yeah, dude.
So, fuck you. Anyway, all right, CarShield brings us the Cam and Strick podcast. We love our friends over there at CarShield, man. Anything can go down at any moment, Cam. You just never know when something could really, really just ruin your day. But I know. Your mood may stay at a high level if you're protected through CarShield. So get that subscription today, man. Become a member. CarShield, you can have it long form, short term, whatever you want. Doesn't cost a lot of money either, Cam. That's the most thing I love about it. But you never know. Your car engine could go out. Your computer, your brakes, your starter, alternator, anything can go out at any time. And we're talking thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars in repairs. But if you have CarShield, you're protected.
Easy peasy, baby. Give him a call. Happened to me first hand in Eureka. Very embarrassing. Fucking starter. They fixed it. I'm like, oh, cool. Very easy. And you could pick out where you want to get it fixed. Right up the street, the guy's like, hey, what's up, Cam? I'll fix that mug. Sorry to beat you. We had, you know, some, an embarrassing situation at the Mexican place. But it's all good.
Yeah, that was pretty embarrassing.
Very embarrassing. Goodbye, Cam. Goodbye. Oh, soy my car doesn't work. This is cool.
Soy boyage. Is that what they were saying? What were they?
Oh, what that? I don't know.
800-857-2481. Put that number in your phone today. 800-857-2481. Mention the promo code CAM. It's extremely embarrassing. But you're going to save 10%. So do it today. 800-857-2481 for CarShield. How about Behlmann.com? Behlmann.com, Cam. I mean, you talk about having a good day.
Yeah, man. I every want that three-quarter tone, baby.
Behlmann, baby.
I want that three-quarter tone.
Three-quarter ton?
Three-quarter ton truck, baby. Three-quarter ton truck, baby. Because you get one of those. Love to get a diesel. And then, you know, club cab, big old club cab on it. And three-quarter ton, if you get a boat, you could carry pretty much any kind of boat.
Okay, big fucking okay. Big boat. We're not talking about boats. I'm just saying.
It doesn't have to be a daily. I get that. But you get a three-quarter ton. Diesels last 500,000 miles. Take care of it. And you could take that badass RV thing, carry, because I always want a truck. And I never want to drive my RV. I would want to carry one, tow it. Up to the Grand Tetons, where that poor little girl got fucking killed. Jeez.
Oh, my God. What the fuck is this?
Is the
boyfriend, like, on the loose?
He's gone, too. It's what? Like, what the fuck? That poor little cute girl. Oh, my God.
I know, man.
Anytime a little blonde girl goes missing, it's just like, fucking, I think of my fucking wife. I'm like, good God. Yeah. It just, poor little girl. I don't know. That sucks. I think they found her. I don't know. Sorry to be like depressing. It's you know, tomorrow they're going to know what the fuck happened when we release this. You got fucking two going. Oh, Jesus,
Andy. I know. Can we just, I know.
I'm sorry. I'm just saying, I want that three-quarter ton. Take that fucking thing to Colorado. Like, what's up? Three-quarter ton, baby.
Is diesel more expensive than the regular gas?
Yeah, I mean,
do you know or do you not know?
Yeah, diesel's more expensive, but your truck lasts a lot longer. Doesn't you turn your truck off. Whenever you have a diesel truck, man, you just let it roll.
You don't turn it off?
Yeah, I mean, like, if you're chilling for – and that's kind of annoying because it's kind of Hoosier when you don't turn your truck off when you're sitting in a garage, your drive, somebody else's driveway. It's like,
Yeah, I'm looking at that Escalade, dude. It's just it takes regular gasoline.
You keep saying that.
Well, that's what I'm looking at. So it's got to make an executive decision here shortly, and we'll work on that with Danny Boy. You can get that Escalade, the Cadillac, the Buick, the GMC on one side of the street in Troy, Cam, and then you just go ahead and cross the street, and there you have all these other options, the Chrysler, the Dodge, the Jeep, Ram. We're not leaving Jeep season. We're not leaving Jeep season, but – you know, obviously you don't want to necessarily have your top down in the winter, but I could have it down in the fall all day long. So I'm looking at that.
You're looking at a regular again? Like, yeah.
I'm looking for at who, a couple Chloe? Of things.
For Chloe when she turns 16? Is that what you're saying? You're going to save for Chloe? Because you get a badass SRT. Those are a fucking shit kicker. The Grand Cherokees are badass. But are you off-roading, Andy? Do you even know where an off-road site would be? Like, you can even go off-road where you fucking live? So what are you going to do with that fucking thing? Go down Highway 40 on those big treaded tires? Like, what are you going to do with that?
I used to go off-road quite a bit. We called it mudding.
I bet you did. Mudding.
Mudding. It was like mudding.
With what? You had like a fucking Dodge Chrysler or a Chrysler Sebring or something.
Oh my god!
What'd you have, a Sebring? You offer that fucking Sebring?
Those were not convertibles back in the day. The Sebring
was sick.
Extra Dodge Jeep Ram. See it. Check out the new Sebring, dude. Honestly,
there's new Sebrings out there now. Sebring?
I'm sure there might be. I don't know.
No. But there's some good Buicks though. I like them.
There's
Buicks.
Some great Chryslers too.
I ain't playing with that.
The Chrysler, the Dodge, the Buick, the what's that? Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. Remember. Cadillac, Buick, GMC, Behlmann.com. Right? Daredevil hockey, baby. My kid was protected all weekend long. Daredevil Hockey. Use that promo code Cam and Strick, all caps, and you're going to save a lot of money with Daredevil Hockey. Again, www.daredevilhockey.com. They've got a bunch of CHL teams now signing up, Cam. NHL players.
Good, they should. At
Daredevil Hockey in time for training camp. I see kids now. They're starting to listen a little more, but they're all not listening. Get that Daredevil Hockey apparel, the tops and the bottoms, and make sure you're protected from the number one cause of emergency room visits among youth hockey players, which is skate lacerations. It protects all the vulnerable areas. You don't need to be suffering a major, major skate laceration, man. Make sure your kid is protected and do it now. Again, use that promo code Cam and Strick, daredevilhockey.com, Cam.
You know, I had a fantasy camp last weekend, and a couple dipshits almost fucking cut me open.
Really?
It almost happened. Well, it's just like they – it was one of those – I don't know. You just run into people. Fuck. And I'm just like, oh. Like, did he cut – I'm like, did he motherfucking get me? I'm like – and I never like – also, if somebody does high stick, yeah, I won't ever go down. Mm-hmm. I'll just get it, and I'll just get off the ice. Like, I won't make a scene.
Oh, yeah.
I don't like to make a scene. You catch me. I don't. I was like, God damn it! I was like, hold it, and then you get off, and somebody will put a thing on you.
Yeah.
Don't. I don't like to be like, oh, woo, 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 or you know, like I don't like that shit. But fuck, I almost got fucking caught a couple times with some motherfuckers. One kid looked like you, and I'm like, oh, like I already hate this guy. He had his fucking skates all fucked up. They're all loose.
Mm.
Wasn't skating fast. He was trying to toe drag guys in the fucking neutral zone. I'm like, oh, stop it. Anyway.
Yeah, so hook that up. Get that. Yeah. Use that promo code Cam and Strick. All right, before we get to Radko Gudas, man, be a legend. Local legend.
Oh, yeah.
BeALegend.com. Cam, you see all this stuff they're sending, man.
Dude,
you got to put stuff. You got to put like a picture up or something with the hat.
I will.
Like,
you were, I was going to do today. It. Well, I couldn't do it at a wedding because that's inappropriate, but I got plenty of things. I'm gonna post some good stuff. They got awesome ass clothes. They got good, nice t-shirts. They got great hats. I love the name, the brand, Local Legend.
Yeah.
Hanging out with Patty there today. I think we can consider him a local legend. And he Phil, his brother.
He's a hometown hero.
Philippe.
Be a local Phil's legend.
Phil's party, Andy. It was Phil's party.
Phil's party.
It was Phil's Stanley Cup party.
Hey, www.bealocallegend.com. That's the website, bealocallegend.com. They got all types of merchandise, though, Cam. Really cool stuff. Again, be a local legend. Like, support the local legend in you. Or everybody knows a local legend. Like, there's somebody in their community and be like, dude, this guy was an absolute legend. So yep. Check it all out, man. They got the hats, the shirts, the koozies. Glassware. I mean, they've got like those glasses for like beers. You know, if you were pour like a draft beer, Cam, like in a glass. You know, like you know.
Andy, I don't drink beer without being in a fucking glass. I'll tell you that right now.
Really? You don't drink?
A bottle. I don't mind. I don't drink out of a can. I have to be in a glass. Nope.
Why?
Because I'm a fancy lad.
It doesn't go down as easy.
It doesn't go down as easy. Absolutely right. I like to put even on a golf course. I'll put it in a fucking styrofoam cup. Yeah. Let's crush it that way. It's weird.
Well, dude,
I'm a weird guy. Give a fuck.
Get your mind right with one of these glasses from BeALocalLegend.com.
They got some.
They
good
got
shit.
Wine glasses, rocks glasses.
I saw those.
Pint glasses. I've got the pint glasses. Local Legend logo, laser etched. The perfect man. You can see perfect for the home bar.
Andy, I was drinking out of those glasses too. With the moon was huge. I mean, it looked fucking like a werewolf moon. There's like cool, creepy clouds going around it. Mm-hmm. I was drinking out of that local glass. It actually makes you more fucked up when you do drink out of that glass. There's like something in that glass that makes you.
What do you think it is?
Like euphoric. I don't know, but I keep hooking it up. It's like something in there.
They look good in the man cave. In my man cave, I'm putting together a man cave. As a matter of fact, Cam, I'm building a man cave.
I think it's more of a. What is it called? I think that's offensive to call a man cave.
Oh,
it should be
okay.
Well, yeah, should be
everyone. Cave.
Everybody's invited.
Everyone
it's
is.
It's not
invited.
Just men. Yeah. Andy.
No, I know.
Stop
but
doing that.
Everybody is invited to my everyone cave.
And it sounds like a bad fucking awesome time. The everyone
poker
cave.
Night or just chilling when you're listening to the podcast, man. Get one of these awesome glasses. I like rock glasses, but I also like pint glasses too, Kim. So you can kind of like choose which one you want. Okay. And they got a bunch of other stuff. So check it out. Use that promo code STRIC. Cam, what is that again?
You feel good about that, don't you, you fucking nerd? You feel good about doing that. Who else said that? Who else said that to me?
You're going to save money when you use the promo code STRIC. Don't be a Leo, be a legend. How about that, huh?
Yeah. Don't be a Leo. And in the memorandum, you're like, well, it's for everybody. I go, no, it's not. It's not for fucking Leos. Because you know what I'm talking about with that. When they go in and they're just obnoxious and they toe drag it to fucking me and they lose the puck, they're like, what do I do now? Then they're like, I have to stick up when they'll turn around the blue line all in one motion like a tornado and shoot a slap shot when the puck's rolling. And everyone's like, ah, get out of the way. And then they'll go high stick first in the corner and you're like, motherfuck. Or they're like, I'm not looking through the neutral zone. And they run into you and you're like, God damn it, Leo. Don't be him.
Don't forget about the lady legends too, man. You can find it all. BeALocalLegend.com, dude. And they're on Instagram also. So check that out.
Yeah.
And of course, my custom sports chairs. Listen, these chairs are incredible. And we've been talking about this forever. But these are some of the coolest chairs that I've seen, man. I've had players reach out to me and be like, dude, where'd you get those? Like, players order these chairs with the team that they played for. And they get their own name and number on the background. So, like, if you played for, like, six different teams, they'll get all six. And maybe people out there want to collect a bunch of different teams. But if you're a fan of the Flyers, any team in the league, the Canadians, the Maple Leafs, the Canucks, the Kings, like, it doesn't matter. Blues. Devils. Hook up one of these chairs. And Devils. Yeah, dude, for sure. And you can get a Cam and Strick podcast chair, too. You can check those out. Okay, use that promo code Cam and Strick, and you're going to save a bunch of money there. Get free shipping, 100% Canadian.
You wish it was just Strick, don't you? You wish you almost cut that Cam out so fast.
No, it's Cam and Strick.
Good.
So it's everybody, and you know it should be that way, right? Just like my everyone cave downstairs. But what team would you get, Cam?
Everyone cave. I can't wait to visit that. What? I told you I got the Devils. I do Devils Team USA, Cam and Strick. I don't need blues shit. I love that. Yeah. We all love it. And I want to support.
I know.
Everybody has blues here. The Devils, though, my parents are more like, that's more like there's a drafted, like, you know.
I know. Hey, you know, but the Canadian fans, listen, like, you can get all Canadian teams. You can also get like a Team Canada.
Yeah, like, I get Team USA. Fuck,
Team Canada jersey. Like, it's really, really cool. Yep. Check it out. MyCustomSportsChair.com. They're on Twitter. They're on Instagram. Brady's promoting it all the time, promoting all our Brody, all our sponsors on our social media. So follow us everywhere, man. Check it out on Twitter, Instagram. Hit me up on Cameo, too. My cameos are on sale between now and Halloween.
Today. I got to do
I'm doing some special Halloween cameos.
For free? So
if you want to have a little, like, you want to get spooked out or something like that, you know, whatever you need. I will hook you up on Cameo between now and Halloween. So www.camandstrick.com. That's the website. Hit us up on social media. Keep sending us those messages. We're going to have that announcement of that winner coming out very soon as well.
God, Andy, I got to piss like a racehorse. Let's
handling
go.
All of that. Jesus all right, Radko Gudas, man. The man child. Awesome, awesome interview here on the Cam and Strick podcast presented by Hair Club. The Cam and Strick podcast is brought to you by CarShield. You know, nothing more frustrating, Cam, than when that engine light comes on and you know right off the bat you're going to have to spend thousands of dollars to repair your vehicle. Call 800-857-2481. Mention the promo code CAM or visit CarShield.com and use the code CAM to save 10%. Yeah. That's CarShield.com. A deductible may apply. Save yourself money. Cam. Sign up and get your coverage now with CarShield.com. Cam. Now to the interview.
Hello?
Radko.
Hi, Radko.
Hey, what's up, guys?
What up? That's a badass fucking name, by the way. I'm not going to lie to you.
Thanks.
You're welcome. What not you, Andy.
What are you doing, man? Are you you good? You need more time or you got everything settled with your kids or what?
Yeah, all set up. They just came back, so it might be a little junk in the bag, but I closed myself up, so it should be fine.
What's life like for you, man? You're just chilling down there in Florida, right? How many kids do you have?
Yeah, well, I got a I had a fourth one 2 weeks ago, so slowly getting used to another addition to the family, and I'm here over a month now, so just sweating every time I go outside a building.
That's like Cam.
Why don't you jump on the ocean, dude? Are you right by the ocean?
No, I'm 20 minutes outside, but I got a pool, so I'm in the pool pretty often, especially with the kids. They need to get tired somehow, so I'm usually the victim of theirs.
So what, you spend part of the off season in the Czech Republic and then part of the season here in Florida? Like, where's the nicer setup? Is it in Florida, or do you like you got a badass setup over there in the Czech Republic?
I wouldn't say badass. We just started. I got a land a couple of years ago, and slowly trying to figure out what I want to do. I started doing the landscaping all over the place. So still in the process, but usually we try to stay as long as we can in Czech Republic and enjoy the beer and the people around. And then as soon as we have to be here, this year was different because of the baby, but my oldest started to go to school, so it's going to start turning around because of school. So that type of thing.
Yeah, I hear you on that. So explain the difference. Okay, so if you're going to build a house in Florida, you know the people. Like, you probably don't know that people down there, but it's kind of an easy thing to do. Like, how is it in Czech Republic to the zoning? You want to put a piece of property. You want to buy a piece of property. You want to put a nice house on it. Like, is it more difficult in the Czech to build a house?
I wouldn't say difficult, but it's definitely harder because we spend here 10 months. So it's a lot of emails and a lot of like Zoom and all that shit pretty much. So I just don't trust the people enough to start everything building and all that stuff. So we're pretty much just getting prepared. And when I'm there, I'm trying to do as much as I can. But I think I need to be biased, and I want to like help building it myself, you know?
Yeah, dude.
Are you famous in the Czech? Like, can you go outside and hang out? Are people coming up to you and being like, what up, Radko?
The girl's on you.
Everybody's on me. No, but I usually shave, so it's perfect. I got a great undercover. So no one knows me without the beard. Even my kids are usually scared of me Christmas morning when I come in fully shaved. And I use that for camouflage.
Yeah.
There you go.
There you go, Andy. I grow a beard out, Andy.
I heard you had a beard at 16. I heard you look exactly the way you do now when you were 16.
Pretty similar, I got to say. I dyed my beard when I was 16 for the playoffs, too. So it was pretty funny. Some guys couldn't even grow a mustache yet, and I had a full beard, blonde, too. So I was a different puberty.
Trust me, I get it.
And just crushing guys.
The only fucking smashing cats. No, I know you get it. But I used to dye my hair, and then all of a sudden my hair started falling out because of all the chemicals I put in that bad boy. But who gives a shit about your beard? Dye that thing all you want.
Hey, working on it, man.
Hey, all right, so the story of how you ended up coming over to the WHL, like, did you know what you were getting into? Like, coming over to play major junior hockey in Canada, especially out west? Like, did you have any idea?
Oh, I have no clue. I have no idea, especially not even watching a lot of the junior hockey. You know, it was really hard to even get NHL. So I had to get up every Sunday morning to see NHL Power Week for 25 minutes once a week, you know, just to see some highlights because internet wasn't really there yet. So that was my deep dream. But when I got drafted, I had no clue even what state I'm going into. I had to Google it on the map and everything. It was stepping into nowhere, but I'm glad I did it. It was at the end awesome, and I loved it.
Well, your English is unbelievable. Like, how'd you, was that just like something that you do in the Czech? Like, you just learn English over
there? Better than ours.
Like, I talk like this. But so you learn English, but you didn't know the states and all that in the US and Canada and all that stuff?
Yeah, well, I did a little bit, only what they teach you in school, so it's not really much, you know. In fact, there's different priority, and I mean, I thought I knew English when I first came over. I graduated best in the class from English, so I'm like, that's easy. I'm coming in here, and first month, I had no clue what's going on around me. Everybody had a different accent, and I just had no idea. I was like, this was English, you know? And they're like, yeah, that was English.
Yeah.
Best in class, motherfucker.
Yeah, you tell me go fuck myself.
See you later, yeah.
How about that? Best in, I love how you're best in class for English. But nothing else, just English or what?
Yeah, just English. That was it. I traveled with my dad when he played. He played all over Europe. So I spent 2 years in Sweden, 4 years in Germany, and a year in Norway and Swiss and places like this. So I was changing schools when I was a kid and changing places. So language, I'm okay with changing language. I think I have a little, I would say, thing for languages, but I still had no idea first month. And then I slowly knew what's becoming what or what words are used in America instead of England. You know, they teach you English. So, yeah, slowly got into it. And
how many languages? How many languages are you speaking? Don't talk like the Brits. How many languages are you speaking? Four or five?
Right now, sometimes I can't even speak Czech because I'm so angry sometimes with the kids. I can't even put the words in Czech, but Czech, English. I understand German a little bit. I used to speak very well Swedish, but not that much anymore. Sometimes I understand a little bit what the Swedes say, but not really. And, you know, the rest of the languages, I spoke Finnish when we lived in Finland, apparently, or I got by speaking with people and they understood. But I have no clue a word in, or I know how to swear now, you know, when you play with Finnish players, the first things you knew. Yeah, exactly.
Is that right? So, I remember the Finnish guy saying
Vitu
or something.
Exactly, yeah.
See, or blech, wait, that's a Russian cast.
What's Vitu?
Vitu, or Vitu, fuck, probably.
Oh, really?
I think so. Hey, one of those for sure.
Didn't your parents like own a hotel though? And like you grew up at the hotel, you had people coming in from all over the place, and like that helped you maybe learn some English too, or no?
Yeah, that too, definitely. When my dad stopped playing hockey, that's what they did, and English was basically spoken every time somebody came. So there was not really a lot of travelers in Europe or in Czech, especially, that would go to hotels. So it's mostly just people that speak different languages, so that definitely did. But I think big part of it was also like being open to different ways of speaking when I was a kid. But like, who knows? English is fine, and you get by pretty much everywhere. So it was a good language.
Yeah, English is easy, man, and everybody knows it. And you're very smart, by the way. Actually, like you act like you know a little bit of German. I could communicate in German. I'm like, you know fucking German then. If you can communicate with people, like you're doing pretty damn good. Let me ask you though. You come over to Canada. So you went to Canada first. And so you're like, what the fuck? Like, what was the biggest difficulty? The driving, like the signs, like, well, what? Like,
but
the
Cam
traffic?
Thinks Washington's in Canada. See, like, you both have no idea.
Oh, no, he went to Washington. No, he's in a dub, and he's in the U.S. Okay, so, okay, might be Andy.
But
stop
that's still,
it.
He's playing in Canada.
No, I know. So you're in Washington. You're doing your shit. Like, what's the most difficult thing? I mean, Washington's a beautiful spot. Were you amazed by the beauty? How were the people? Like, explain when you first got there.
It was great. I had no clue, right? So I had pretty great coaching staff. I had Jay Vardy and the Hartsburg dad and his son. So that was unreal. They made sure I knew what comes first. And I loved the way they brought me in and behaved to me. And I had a really great roommate, Chris Lenko, which he was a 20-year-old at that time. And he helped me a lot too with going by, but like biggest problem I remember was like, tips in the restaurants, you know, like in Europe, you don't tip, not automatically. If you're really happy that you give her a little bit, like a buck or two for the dinner for tip, you know, but here it's like, you know, in a junior year, I was making money already in Czech and I came over here and paying for dinner and then tipping 20%. I was like, I had the biggest problem with that, but as I got used to it, everything in America, I started getting used to the way of life here, and it's completely different. But every little thing is different, you know. There's different size, different sizes, yeah, different signs on the streets, but they still mean the same, but they're a little different, you know. And like, I would say everything is a little different, you know, but just a little different, and you have to get used to it. And after that,
So in Czech, the roads are small. You know, everything's back in the day, and you got like, there's a cobble street shit. Like, it's kind of probably hard to get around, but like in the US, like, you're like, no, we got major highway systems. You could have a big ass diesel truck. Like, were you looking at vehicles and you're like, God, look at that big ass truck? We're like, what do they need that for?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was pretty much like that first. Yeah, but now I like the big trucks too, you know?
Hell yeah.
So it's, I like the two different worlds, you know, kind of balance in life. So I do like that. But in Washington, yeah, it was also amazing. Like, there's no ocean in Czech, right? And I moved to like the most west coast spot I possibly can be on the water, where I only see in vacations, you know. Like, it was pretty cool to have a different breeze. So I also thought the US is a little different until I got invited to LA Kings development camp, and that set me straight what America is. Different, you know, different way of life. So it was great, man. I loved every moment, you know. When you're 19, 18, and you just love the game, it doesn't matter what you do. You take it where it takes you, or you go where it takes you. I love that about it, you know?
All right, let's talk about the hockey part, though.
Yeah.
All right, so, and you're playing in the Dub, you're in Everett, and you're just blowing people up. But then you have to fight, right? Like, after you lay out a big hit, all of a sudden guys are coming at you, they're dropping the gloves, and they want to fight. Like, how tough of an adjustment was that? Like, where was your fighting at when you first came over?
Well, when some of my buddies from back home want to make fun of me, they show me my first ever fight on video. I got absolutely destroyed, you know. This six seven guy just took me apart. I didn't even throw a punch, you know. I didn't know what to do. I can't remember the name, but it was against Portland. They had this tall scrapper. We had Cameron Abney that fought him, and fought him after, and it was like they did pretty good, but I have no idea his name. But I remember him just beating the wheels off me after I smoked one of their guys in front of their bench and stood above him, you know.
Oh, yeah. So, I think I know who you're talking about. Was this kid a second round pick of the Blues? I'm gonna look it up. A defenseman,
was it,
man.
Palooza? Oh
no, I'll look it up here in 2 seconds.
Hey, were you, when you start playing in that fucking league and you're like, wow, everybody's cross-checking everybody, why is there this, like, when you were rocking guys over in Czech, was that, like, abnormal? Like, were you the one dude and no one fuck with you? And all of a sudden you go over to the U.S. and you play, or the Canada, Western League, and all of a sudden you got the mutants tapping on the shoulder. Like, was that just, like, the biggest wake-up call ever?
Yeah, it was a step in a different direction what I was used to, for sure. But also, I was the kid that I was 16 playing with adults in Czech Republic, and I still had to wear the cage, so everybody knew who I was. And I had 4 or 5 game misconduct the season, you know. So it was just I was just running around, you know. I saw like opportunity, and I just took it. So I did I had few hits during even adult career here, but nobody came after me. That was the difference, you know. Yeah. Nobody cared, you know. Like, it was hockey, you know. Then if you didn't keep your head up and you got smoked, then that was it, you know. And then when I came here, everybody's coming after me. I got jumped 7 times, I think, out of my 9 fights that year. So I'm usually skating away, you know, looking after puck, and I don't know what's coming. And all of a sudden, somebody's already, like, jumping on me. So, but I also had a few good ones, and I liked it there. I think I had, like, 45 fights, or in 45 games, I had those 9 fights. And then rest of the season, I didn't have one. So it was, I don't know, I liked it. It was awesome, and that league was perfect for me at that time.
Oh, yeah. I think Jay Verity was your second round, or was your assistant coach, whatever. He grew up here in St. Louis. I know Jay, who's now coaching down.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, he's now coaching the American League team for the Coyotes. Oh. Hey, was the kid's name Brett Ponich, who you fought?
Yeah, Ponich. Yeah. That sounds pretty familiar.
Yeah, that was him.
I remember
that. He was 6'7".
Yes.
He was a high pick. I don't think he ever played
the NHL.
He never
did anything, did he, Andy?
But he threw a lot down in the when he was with
who Portland. Was on your team on that Western team that maybe you rock a guy? Like, who was your heavy on that team?
Oh, that was Cameron Abney, I would say. That was our heavy. We had Dale Hunt, who would fight. Ellie Nuuk. Not really. We weren't really the toughest team, but we were pretty good. We just we lost in the first round, but we didn't really have like a big heavyweight. That was my. That was more of when I showed up in the LA Kings camp, in the development camp, and I see these two guys working out. I'm like, these guys can be hockey players. And it's Kevin Westgaard and Rytis Ivanons. I'm like,
oh, Rytis Ivanons. Oh, my God. He's the nicest guy in the world, by the way.
Yeah. Isn't he like 6'8" or something?
No, he's 6'5", but he's like 260 of jackness.
That was a scary moment for me walking in. I see these two guys, and you have like the gym and the glass. They have the glass door to the gym, so you have everything. So it was my wow moment.
He was a good guy, though. I'm telling you.
Yeah, they were great. They bought me beer at the end of the camp, so they were great for me.
I love that. I love hearing.
What's your favorite beer over here? You like beer?
Yeah,
big fan. I drink the Funky Buddhas now. They're local brewed, and they have some good kinds. The Floridian's pretty good, so
nice.
What about domestic beer? What about like something like? What's your most like a popular beer, like a Budweiser type, or anything that you just like? You're at the gas station. Hey, how nice is it, by the way, in the U.S. at 3 o'clock in the morning? You can go to a fucking gas station and buy booze anytime you want. Yeah. I mean, you can go to Walmart and buy booze and a gun if you want to at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, amazing. America is one of a kind. That's for sure. In these.
Hey, do you like it over here? Like, could you see yourself living here after your hockey career, or no?
I don't know. I don't think so. With more kids and more kids, I feel like I should be more close to the family. So I do like it here, and there's a reason why I want to be here. But I also have strong bonds back home, and I'm going to feel like the kids too. So it's going to be a big decision when I'm done playing what to do next. So still up in the air. But I do like Czech, and like I said, the beer there is not there's not two places like Czech Republic for the beer, you know? So that's a big, big, heavy decision.
All right. Listen, where does the physical part of the game like come from? Like, wait, did your dad play that way? Like, is it natural for you to just want to like deliver big open ice hits? Because a lot of your hits are in the open ice. I mean, if somebody's got their head down, like you seem to be able, you know, to identify that right away. So the physical part of it, man, where'd that come from?
Yeah, my dad was like that too. He was the most hated guy everywhere he went in the league. So he played really similar to me. And in that era, you can pretty much do anything on the ice too. So when he hit somebody, it was something, you know. I don't think these days people would really like it. But yeah, I definitely grew up watching him, and then that physicality just came naturally. And like I said, I had beard when I was 16, so it kind of, I had to go with a little more physicality.
Andy's working on it still, by the way.
I still can't grow.
Still working on it. He's 42. So like, look, explain to people, like, you know what? Like, people do hate you. Don't get me wrong. Fans do everywhere you go. Mm-hmm. And I see that, and I get it. I hated you when you played for Syracuse. Hey,
but we've had Tom Wilson on, and other guys, and Reaver, whatever. There's a lot of guys who are hated, man.
We've had some fucking hardcore motherfuckers on here. So, like, you're part of the mix. Like, welcome to the family. But explain to people, though, how much of a skill that is to be able to line guys up. Like, it's not just like, I'm just going to come up here. Like, like define and explain how you have to line guys up, especially some skilled guys. They're going to start timing, cutting to the middle, trying to keep your elbows fucking down so you don't get that 10-game misconduct. Like, explain that whole mental process you have to go through.
No, it's harder and harder every year, too. Like, you get watched more often and often, more camera angles and everything, so you have to really pick, and like it's becoming really hard. And if you're looking for it, you can always find it. There's always a guy or two that does it a couple times a game, and you have to know who you're playing against too. So some guys, you know, they want to get speed first before they even put their head up, you know. So it's fun to study some of the players, you know. And you also know that some guys are baiting you in, that it like if you make the step first, you know, they have to come to the certain point where before you can make the reaction too, you know. So I think it's becoming harder and harder too, since the guys are faster and faster. So I think it has to be in there naturally a little bit too. And like I said, I watched my dad do it or play like that since I remember. So I kind of felt like I have to have the family tradition, you know, playing the tough guy.
Move it forward. So how does that impact you, or does it affect you at all? Like, do you like being the villain? Do you like walking into opposing rinks knowing that the other fan base like despises you and you are hated by some fans? Does that bother you?
Yeah, I know. It doesn't bother me. It's a game, you know. Everybody plays a different role on the team, and some people hate lawyers, you know, some people hate dentists, some people hate me, you know.
Some people hate Andy.
Who hates their dentist?
Who hates their fucking dentist?
You and I can relate.
Come on, dude.
You and I can relate.
Andy's teeth are white as shit.
It's just one of the things, and then you go to plays where they hate you, and now you play for them, and all of a sudden, oh, we used to hate you when you played for other teams, but now we love you, so you're like, well,
hey, that's got to be the best, man. And Matthew Tkachuk, man, he's a St. Louis. Yeah. We had him on. Like, all those kids go through that. I mean, there's something to be said for it, you know? Of all the suspensions you've had, like, which was the hardest one for you to accept where you just felt like you were given a raw deal, man? Like, it was, like, you couldn't have avoided it, and it was bullshit that they handed that many games on you.
I accepted all of them, so... That's about as far as I would go, but I really, really, the last one was a really stinger because I missed the playing in the outdoor game. So in two games, we have the outdoor game and they gave me the two games, you know, so I had like 25 people, you know, buddies flying from Czech Republic, you know, they never been in the US, you know, they came for this one game and. I'm sitting in the lounge with them, you know, and watch it, you know. So that was really the hardest one to swallow, pretty much, you know. But I mean, it's a fast, quick game, you know. Stuff happens.
Which suspension? Which suspension was that one?
That was on Kuch. Stick.
Oh, Kucherov.
Oh, the Kuch. Mm-hmm.
I know the slash on top of the head. I know.
He pushed you from behind.
At least
so many things that happened before all of them, you know.
I know.
Are you guys boys? Are you guys tight from your days in Tampa?
Yeah, we knew each other. I wouldn't say we're best buddies, but we know each other. We played together for a while, and I think I'm pretty good friend with anybody that I played on the team. So I can say we wouldn't have beer or nothing. And I talked to him right after, and he was like, "Yeah, shit happens," or something like that, you know. And. Yeah. Then it's out of my control after that.
Yeah,
so,
dude. It gets over with. Like, everybody goes. Yeah. And Kuch is slash guys in the fucking face, too. So it doesn't matter. Like, it just, shit happens, okay?
Yeah, it's part of the sport, and we all live it, we all accept it, and it's,
I mean,
it is what it is.
Andy slashed somebody in alumni skate the other day, and everybody went kind of psycho on it. So, like, everybody, hey, who's a guy, though? That scares you a little bit. Not beating you up, not Superman punch shit that we're going to get into in a second. But I'm talking like coming down when you're coming around the fucking net and you're like, I do this to people. Now I'm worried that this motherfucker on forward, Tommy fucking Wilson or whoever, comes down and is going to put you through the glass. Because like, who scares you in that department?
I can't really say I'm really scared of anybody or that if I'm going for puck, I'll be thinking, oh, this guy's going to run me through the glass. You know, it's... If he's going to run me through the glass, that he's going to have to know that I'm going to be coming after him, you know? So that's what he wants to pick this battle and I'm going for it, you know? I'm not really, okay, I'm not going to do it this game because this guy is looking after me, you know, or looking for me. I don't think it's right if you think like that sometime, you know, you're like, I can't do this because this guy is playing. Obviously, you know, there's heavyweight playing out there and they're going to come after you, but... You never want to hit anybody dirty or you never want to do it or you never want to hurt anybody. So there's no real particular reason why he would be coming right after you, you know, or right for you before anything happens, you know?
Okay. So, and I will say this, man, you deserve some credit because I think you have made adjustments to your game. Like, I mean, just in terms of how you hit whatever, you haven't gotten in trouble recently. But when you play with Tom Wilson, like, did the two of you guys talk about it? Like, just in terms of how to go in to make your hits, whatever, and to avoid suspensions. Did you guys talk about it?
Yeah, we did. That was we had actually a few combos about it. We were living pretty close to each other too, so it was funny. He was a good guy, and he's I think he adjusted his game too, to be honest. And I think he's learning too in the process. And you know, he is so strong and so fast. It's got to be even so harder for him to you know. Time it and everything, and he's really one of the faster guys I've seen, and he plays with so much passion. You know, it's gonna be really hard for him to keep the focus and the I don't know how to say the word in English, but
handsomeness.
Handsomeness, that would be one of the other words I could use. Yeah, he's a.
I mean, he's got fucking great. Yeah. God damn him!
Hey, but you know, do you feel like a marked man out there? Like I've talked to Tom Wilson about that a little bit. Some of these other guys too. Like you know, they're watching you, right?
Oh yeah, that might be the guy that I'm scared the most. You know, George Peros, and he's not playing hockey no more. You know.
Oh, okay.
He's always in the back. He's in your ear, man. He's on your shoulder.
He threw my shoulder out.
Well,
Buck.
He did. He did it to Cam when they fought. Hey, but when the day you find out, like you're gonna get suspended, or you have your hearing, like. What's that like? I mean, how difficult is it just to kind of be by yourself? Everybody's talking about it on social media.
Yep.
And on top of all that, like the money you forfeit. I mean, I think your 10-game suspension, you had to forfeit like something like close to $500,000 or something like that. So, I mean, how difficult are those first couple of days?
It's a wife pissed.
Yeah. I mean... You never want to be part of that. You know, that morning when you wake up, you know what's happening. Like it's not a fun day or not fun. The whole process, you know, you hear so many different opinions on yourself. You know, even from the call, even if you just don't, you have to ignore the social media pretty much. But you still hear a lot of different opinions from different on the call, especially, and you know it's. It's not a fun process. I wouldn't recommend it to anybody to try to be in there. But, you know, when you take it, you have to take it like a man and you have to follow your consequences. And probably a beer or two after that, you know, for lunch is usually what I do and try to wash the sourness down and get ready for a couple week long baggers, you know.
Oh, the That's fucking about, bag session. Yeah. And not to mention, like, your wife's probably like, okay, like, we're not going to sushi four times a week anymore. You got 500 fucking G's. And not to mention the bags. Look, I've been suspended. It's so goddamn horrible. I had my agent, like, beg, oh boy, to, like, not do, give me the 5-game, not in hearing, whatever. And they give me 5 games, of course. And so you're just sitting there, and you're like, oh, God. And so you go to practice. You're not part of the team. You already feel like kind of like demoralized because you did something stupid, which whatever, if stupid, whatever. But then the fucking assistant coaches bag you. Explain that to people and how horrible it is, especially when you're on the road in your last skate and the other team has it. You have no time limit and they're just bagging the shit out of you. Like, just explain that to people. It's horrible.
Yeah, especially like the body can take it, you know, after the summer, but the mental part is the worst too, you know, just another one, and you just. Yeah, sometimes you don't see the light at the end of the tunnel. I feel like sometimes, so that I would say that's the hardest mental part. I had one time guy. We were in Chicago, and I had a start of the season suspension, and the assistant coaches bagged me so hard that the guys literally sat on the bench and watched me. Like walking by that time, you know, I couldn't skate no more. I wasn't moving. It was a walking speed, you know, going through the dots. And then I finished and got off and we were on the like practice facility. And one of my teammates, he's like, man, you look awful. And just untied my skates. And there you go, man.
Aww, that's
so
nice.
He was a gem, but the team or half of the guys watched me on the bench, gave me like a clap because I had a few beers the night before too, you know, like I'm not gonna play the next week. So I have to wash the sourness down again. And yeah, that coach got me really hard. And that was probably the worst feeling.
Explain this.
Could be a dick move.
Cause I really want to know, like when you come down with your stick on a guy like Perreault or if it's Kucherov or whatever. And I look like Tommy Wilson when he pile drives Panarin, like, do you like, are you in the moment? Are you blacking out? Like, do you snap? Like, what do you think it is with you that leads to some of those plays? Like, can you recall actually doing it, like being in the moment, or do you kind of black out, like I said?
Yeah, I would say both. I'm so into moment. I'm pissed at something that happened already before, and I just don't take a right breath, and something else happened on top of it, and I just, I don't know, just black out, I would say. I do remember it. I don't like remembering it, and I feel shame now, you know, when I see it. But, you know, it's in the moment. I'm a pretty emotional guy too, and I want to play hard, and I want to give everything every time I'm on the ice. So it's hard for me sometimes to control my emotion, but I think I adjusted better and better as I moved on in my career, and
yeah.
I definitely don't want to have any more of those. And you know, just trying to play as hard as clean as possible. And last year, I really think I did good step in the right direction. So yeah. I really, it's not on my highlight videos, you know, these things. And you know, I had that experience, but I don't want to relive it again.
Yeah, no, I got you, man. I respect the answer, yep, too.
Me too.
Because, listen, like I said a few minutes ago, like I will give you credit because it looks like you've made some adjustments. But what are you doing to control your emotions? And, like, what kind of adjustments have you made? Like, are you doing yoga? Are you talking
therapy
to somebody?
Yeah.
Like, or, I mean, what is it? Like, what have you done to adjust your game on and off the
Jacob
ice?
Drinking beer.
More beer, funky Buddhas.
Went to gun range.
He's a gun guy now. You don't do that in a Czech, do you?
Oh yeah, I do, especially in Czech. I like that, and that's
oh, really?
Yeah, we have a good setup in Czech, so it's pretty cool to go and do that. So I start scuba diving too. It's a little more calmness and gives you a little calm to your being, or you have to learn how to like stay calm because of the oxygen and all that. You don't want to breathe everything out right away. So different things I tried to get my mind off hockey all the time, and the kids are helping with it a lot, to be honest. The family doesn't give me much time at home to think about hockey when I'm at home, so that would say helps too. But or that's the most consistent thing. But I can't really say I had a mental coach or started yoga, you know.
But scuba diving.
Therapy dogs, you know, something like that. You never know.
Bring the fucking puppies by me.
That's right.
I want them to lay right next to me. I need to get my mind right.
Mm-hmm.
But like when you dive in the ocean like that,
it calms
your breathing has to be
controlled.
Especially if you're going through caves and shit in like Mexico.
Yes, yes.
And he's probably doing it. You have to have
They're
that.
Called cenotes.
Whatever,
in Mexico,
Andy.
In Mexico,
but
cenotes.
The point is, like, you have to have your breathing right. Like, okay, I'm here. Next step, I'm here.
Yeah.
Okay, what's this? Like, were you freaked out when you started, like, experimenting with, like, diving in the ocean, shooting guns? Like, you said you were shooting guns over in a Czech. Like, was it the gun laws? Like, what are they like over there?
It's got a shooting range.
Okay, but, like, even having, you know, explain it.
No, it's, so you go like, it's sport shooting, right? So you have a shotgun and you shoot the, orange things. I don't know how to call them in English.
Clay targets.
Clay targets. Yeah. They're pigeons in Czech, so I didn't want to use that.
That's called turkey hunting
what'd
here.
What'd you say?
So yeah, like I said, when we got the land back home, there's this really good friend of mine that he also like takes care of the lands in the woods, and they have to have rifles because they hunt the animals around and they keep the population. And we kind of got to know each other, and he took me out a few times. I started liking it, so I decided I'm gonna get the license in Czech. So went a few times, and it's a lot easier to get it in the States than in Czech. I thought it done much though. So
that's pretty cool. Then.
You know, Radko, yeah. I almost drowned one time.
Oh Jesus!
When
Andy,
I was scuba diving.
Don't
in Mexico,
them.
In the coral reef, man, I couldn't breathe. So I know how difficult that is.
Isn't that horrifying?
Oh my God, it didn't work.
Like, you were fogging up.
Oh, yeah.
Were you fogging up?
Yeah, it didn't work.
Jesus
so I know what that's like. Hey, give me a teammate. Like, who were some of your closest buddies in the league, and like maybe somebody that's like helped you through some of those times to get through it.
Yeah.
You know, I at those times I was in Philly, so the Czech guys were really close to me. So that was. I had most of the suspensions with the Czech guys, and yeah, like I said, in Philly. So Drakey, Voracek, and Nuvi, those were the guys I probably talked the most. And I would say Scotty Lawton or Michael Raffle, you know, those were guys that were close to me, or Robert Hag. We got kind of all lived in the same spot, and you know, those were guys that helped me get through. And you know, like Simmer or the guys that been through a few of them, or been around guys that been through a few of them, and they understand. So
Simmer, Wayne Simmons.
Yeah, that was what a gem.
Is he a good guy or what, Wayno?
He's a great guy.
Great dude.
Guy.
Badass.
Yeah.
Dude.
You missed.
Badass dude. Yeah,
you missed. You missed Berube, right? Berube wasn't there when you were there. Where was he?
I got traded there as he was finishing the season with them, but he got fired right after the end of the season. So
he probably loved it.
He would love you. He sat him on.
Yeah, it was my year in meeting. I didn't play a game. He's like, love the way you shoot and play, kid. Keep it up. I'm like, all right, it's perfect. And then sadly that day or the day after he got fired. So it was experience.
How was Schenner as a teammate?
It's great. Both of them. I like those guys. Those guys are my types. They love love food, you know, so it's always fun to go for dinners with him. They just order appies and just muck. So it's fun to they're good guys. I like them, both of them.
Cam and Strick podcast here for our boy Dan Bellman with Bellman.com.
Yeah, baby.
You need some new wheels? Mm. Why not get a Cadillac, a Buick, a GMC? Yeah. Head out to Troy today. And again, don't forget about Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram right across the street.
No doubt.
Right there in Troy, Missouri. Mm-hmm. Visit them online. Check out their new selection, the pre-owned selection, the best service you will find anywhere in the country. Bellman.com. BEHLMANN.com. Get yourself some new wheels in time for the summer.
Yeah.
Now back to the interview. All right, Canadian, so your dad played in the Olympics. You played in the Olympics. I think your dad played in the Olympics too, didn't he? But he played with Jagr. Yeah. I mean, mm-hmm. And I would imagine a bunch of other like Czech superstars. But like, what's the family relationship with Jagr? You guys know him pretty well.
He lives 25 minutes from where we live now, and I worked up with him in the summer when I was working in the same town or in Kladno where he plays now and where he used to work out. So I worked out in a few years, but he was like a schmelt in the national team. And my dad was finishing, so it was pretty funny. He the Olympics when I was singing happy birthday to Yags, you know, in Sochi, and I'm the schmelt, you know, and he's just laughing at me and giving it to me too, because my dad just probably gave it to him and he remembers.
Was Yag? So, did he say Yag? Like, I play with him in Jersey too, and he's just one of a kind, of course. But was mm-hmm. he cocky? Did your dad say he was cocky when he was a schmelt, as you said?
And Cam's a schmelt.
I'm a fucking schmelt. I'm always a schmelt. Got treated like a schmelt. But was he cocky? Like going in, like, goddamn, he was, I mean, unbelievable.
I don't know. I can't really tell. That's the only really experience he really told me about. He just like, I was the old guy. He was this young kid coming in, you know, pretty good. And then he went to NHL, win two cups right away. So it was a pretty, or that was before the Olympics, so 2 years before the Olympics. So it was, I think it had to be one of a kind experience. Like you said, he's one of a kind, and it's always something to be around him.
No, big time.
Oh, I bet. Oh, I bet. God. Hey, how well do you know Roman Polak? I feel like your guys' games are Roman. Similar. You know, he played here in St. Louis, know Roman pretty well. Love obviously, him. he was a teammate of Cam's, but. Like, I don't know, you guys have, like, a lot of similarities, and you guys are both from the Czech. Like, you guys know each other pretty well or no?
Actually, we're from the completely opposite parts of Czech Republic. We met in the NHL, pretty much, or before the Olympics in Sochi at the camp. But every time we played against each other, I always get called his little mini-me, you know? So it's pretty funny. But I can't say we knew each other really well, but when I go to that part of Czech Republic and we go work out, he goes in the same group that I would go with. So saw him a few times, and you know, he's a great guy. He would
put 225 up 35 times. Then he'd beat everybody in the cardio. Then he'd beat everybody in the sprints. Like, he was a fucking freak, man. Absolute freak.
Yeah. After he had that plate in the ankle, I saw him like coming in second time in the week for workout, and he was lifting, I don't want to even say how many plates, but it was something I would not even lift. And he just came off that ankle surgery with that piece in his ankle, and he's just coming in and lifting these things. And it was amazing to see.
Is that how you are? Do you finish first in like the strength? I feel like you're finishing first in strength testing and training camp every year. Is that how it is?
No, I don't. I don't finish first in the camps, to be honest. I just right in the middle, you know.
So you fucking rock, guys, okay? And you keep the puck alive in the zone. That's what you do.
Hey, what are your hobbies here in the States? I know what you like to do over there in the Czech, but like,
you got a boat. You got a fucking boat.
Do you have a boat over there in Florida?
No, I do not. No. I wish I, if I spend a little more time here, then I would probably look into something like that. And I know guys that have them here, they absolutely love it, and they spend great amount of time on them. And like I said, they love it. So we definitely, I would look into it, but, I'm trying to stay around the kids as much as I can, because in Czech, I don't really see them. And during the season, I don't see them either. So I'm more of a dad driving around. But if I can go play a little golf or tennis, I go for that, and stay as active as I can, because during the season, especially with the travel here, I don't get to spend much time here. So I like to soak in the sun with the cold beers in it too. So I kind of have to even it up, you know, with spending time with the family and the places.
Well, put the family on that center council, baby.
Well, who's got the boat though on the team? Like, who invites the boys out to come on the boat? Like, who's got the nice boat?
Great question.
Oh, Eki, for sure. Eki is the big fisherman. He's loving it, and some of the stories when he says, he sends me some videos of sharks, and my boy loves that, and it's fun to see him enjoying that. And that would be something definitely I would want to try if I have some free time on my hands too.
What about the storms here? I like to get into a little bit of weather. Mm. You're down in Florida, Czech Republic. Mm-hmm. I don't know how the thunderstorms are and shit like that, but you get down to Florida or even anywhere, if you're in the Midwest or whatever the case, and you see some of these badass storms, these hurricanes coming in, you're like, what the fuck? You see it, you hear about it, but all of a sudden, maybe sometimes you go through it. Like, have you been through any big ass storms? You're like, what the fuck is going on here?
Yeah, Florida's it's a little different with the storms here, that's for sure. We right now in the summer too, especially, there's thunderstorm warming pretty often, but I can't say we got bad winds, and you see it around, and the rain is pretty heavy, but usually it's an hour long rain and then it's gone. And haven't really been here through any really big winds so far, so I got a knock on wood.
Hey, listen, coming to Midwest in April. Come through Tornado Alley, baby.
Oh, anytime in the summer.
Yeah, damn right.
There's no tornadoes here, but we get heavy storms.
Yeah, we do. What are you talking about, Andy? You are out of your...
Cam thinks we get tornadoes.
We get tornadoes all the fucking time.
A few more questions for you, and then we'll let you go, man. You've been great. We appreciate it. What about John Cooper? Like, how was he as a coach to kind of introduce yourself to pro hockey here in North America? Because he was your first coach in the American League, right?
Yeah. He was the first one, and he was a first year coach too. So he was getting used to the pros too. He coached the kids, but never coached the pros. So I think it was him getting used to it too. And he was really good to me. I think we hit it off pretty well, and he knew what he wants from his guys. And I like that on the coach when he can be straight with his players. And he's a player's coach, you know. He wants to do what feels right for the team and what the team will enjoy, and you know, having fun while doing it is a big part of letting the guys perform at their highest level, because they know they're gonna get rewarded for it somehow. And you know, it was fun to play for him.
Have all your coaches been good to you? Like, have they all encouraged you to play physical and kind of be who you represent, like, throughout the course of your career? Because I know, even like, you know, reading about stories when you were in Philly, like even mm-hmm. Hextall and Dave Hextall, they pulled you aside and they would have talks with you. Like what would they say? And like, tell me what the rest of the coaches, have they encouraged you to be a physical player regardless of, you know, the trouble that it's gotten you into?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't never been sad not to play physical, you know. It's always my like instincts, and it takes over during the game, you know. So I don't think I can stay away from the physicality, but you know, I've been told to like even it out and make sure I don't get out of position. That was a big part of me growing up too, as a hockey player, know where the right time is to lay a hit, and know when I can afford it or when the team can afford it. So it was more of a timing than stop playing physical. It's more of a like pick a good spot or find the right moment and things like that more than anything. But can't really say a coach told me that I should stop playing physical, you know?
Yeah, stop playing physical and just be a skilled defenseman. Yeah. Sit in the press box.
Exactly. I was going to say that. If I tried that, I would probably watch the next game.
That's right. Yeah, no shit. Hey, anybody that you want to step up on, you're like, man, I don't know. this motherfucker can reverse hit me. And explain to people, like,
oh, yeah,
when you do, because you're a hitter, and all of a sudden you go into the corner, and somebody acts like he doesn't see you, and all of a sudden he sticks that fucking shoulder in your sternum. Like, explain that to people. It's fucking, it's horrifying.
Like Oshi.
Like Oshi, baby.
Yeah, he's scary. He's scary doing that. And I've seen some guys do it. Some guys did it to me, too, and it's not fun skating to the bench with that hole, pretty much, you know?
Yeah, man.
But he tried to play it off as cool as we possibly can, you know, and just breathe calmly and just put your stick on the ice and pretend like nothing happened, you know?
I'm good.
I'm good, yeah.
Hey, listen, you've had some, like, you fought a bunch of tough guys, though. Yeah, like, yeah, I mean, man. You fought, like, a Ginla, like, I mean, a couple times, I think twice in one game. What about the Bieksa fight? Like, he had that Superman punch. Did that catch you off guard? Did that surprise you? How badly were you hurt there?
Yeah, I didn't see that coming, that's for sure.
Well, what was that?
I came fast. Oh, good. Great for him. I didn't think he can jump on the left toe like that and deliver a punch on the ice. So, obviously, I seen an MMA and he connected perfectly. So, there was nothing I could do at that time when he chose to do it. You know, good for him. But
I got him up.
Oh, I got a nice like jaw hurt. Well, I finished the game and played on so-and-so. But yeah, it wasn't really the proudest moment of my fighting career, that's for sure.
And yeah, you don't want to get Superman punched like that. But he did it to two guys. He did like two or three. We had him on too. He's a good dude, man. He'd like you.
Yeah, no.
Who's he kidding?
I heard the best things about him too. It's just he plays against me. It is what it is. And I was actually happy that he did it to somebody else, that I'm not the only one that looks like fool. So he kind of like, I eased off on him, you know, and in my mind, like, all right, he's fine. He did it to other guys, so it's okay.
Well, did you ever do like, so you came over here, man, and you're fucking killing guys. Like, did you ever say, like, dude, I need to go box with somebody in my local area or do hockey fight training that we, you know, we all did in St. Louis here, man? Like, do you ever think about boxing or anything like that? Just so you can, you kind of know a little bit more where you're at and getting hit and knowing how to throw a punch?
Yeah, I did take a few lessons boxing, but it was more for cardio or anything. But, you know, I don't really train for the fight. You know, it's, I feel like the more raw it is, the more hockey-like it is. And I did a few boxing sessions a few years ago, but I do now train with the guy in Czech Republic that is like a featherweight champion in MMA. So he's pretty good. He can choke me out anytime. So it's fun to see him, some of his drills, and some of the other guys when you go train, and the guys are cage training. It's a whole different style of training. So it's I like to watch it, but not really specifically for the fights.
Hey, you ever watch the old videos though, like Scott Stevens and some of these guys? I mean, could you imagine if you played in that era? Where you were allowed Hatcher. To play that way, Hatcher and so on. Like when people are like, "Oh my, he's too mean. He hits too hard. Oh, he's a predator."
Jesus.
And then you just put on like the YouTube, like you see some like who's some of the better hitters in your opinion throughout NHL history that you're like, "Wow, this guy is great
Sticking
at what he does."
I mean, I saw when first YouTube came in. You know, I was watching some of the highlights, and like Scott Stevens always stands out. You know, that's. Guy that always was standing, I felt like in the middle finding guys. It was amazing. So I really did like watching his videos. And like I said, my dad played pretty similar style in Europe. So I was pretty much pumped when he was doing something like Scott did in the YouTube videos. Just he did it on a different stage than my dad did, you know. So it was great to watch those.
Who else was a big boy hitter back? Like, fucking Hatcher would kill you.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Chelios. Oh, yeah, Chelios will fuck you up.
Exactly. There's so many guys.
Cromwell.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know? Yeah. Hey, are you looking forward to the Olympics, man? You hope to get another opportunity to play in the Olympics here coming up in February or what?
Yeah, I'm pretty pumped.
China.
I still don't, it's going to be a different feeling, that's for sure. But I'm looking forward, especially since we missed the last one. So you only get so many chances to represent your country on this level. So I'm really pumped to have the opportunity and do it. And, looking forward to it. It's going to be tough on the body and everything to leave. All the guys are going to go vacation and you go compete for 2 weeks. But I think it's for the better of and everybody wants to go.
Yeah, dude, look, you ain't going to be doing shit in fucking China. Let's be honest here. You're going to be sitting in your thing, and you're just going to play hockey, and you're going to go home, and you're going to sit there, and you're not going to do shit. But who cares?
There's not much you can do with the tracker, sure. So
you're just going to chill, dude. It's going to be locked down like no other.
Hey, how good's this Florida team you play on?
Amazing. I'm enjoying watching it. You know, it's some of the guys that play here, the skill, it's so much fun to see, and the way they see the ice, it's fun. You know, they're hungry too, you know, young, hungry. It's really joy to be here right now.
Are you going to look at Joe? You're going to go big Jumbo, and when he walks in the locker room, be like, hey man, what are you doing? And you'll be like, hey, you want to hang out today? Like, are you going to try to hang out with that fucking guy? Cause he's so cool. Like, right.
Yeah. I can't wait to do it, man. He's already here. I think he settled this week. He went for a couple of skates with us, and he looks like he loves the boys, so it's really fun to have that his presence in the locker room, and he's pretty cool even with me when I was going after him, you know, when we played against each other. So yeah. I'm glad he's a great guy, and glad we got him on the team, you know, especially since we lost a few of the older veteran guys.
Yeah, I hear
what
you.
Kind of skate do you guys have down there? Are there a bunch of guys like who are living in Florida? Because a lot of those Russian guys and stuff like that train there during the off season. Like who's there? Like skating with you guys? Just Panthers players, or you have a bunch of NHLers?
Yeah, right now it's pretty much just the Panthers guys. Since the camp starts next week for the kids, but it's a lot of guys are staying here. I think two of our guys stayed here for most of the off season, and guys were in and out, especially with Canadian not being able to travel and have to quarantine and all that other stuff. They just guys that were staying here, a few of them stayed, and I think a few of the Russians, I know we skated with a few of them, but you know, there was a good group of I think like 8-9 guys that can skate throughout the whole off season. So I think it's a good spot to train too, so can't blame them.
What's with the white skates?
I love them, man. I'm Euro. I can wear them.
I was going to say, like, is that because I did that? I did that shit in 2010. I got beaked pretty hard. I had a little stripe. Remember that, Andy? I think you chirped me in like a couple blogs. You fuck. But David Perron did it. But the white skates are like,
I like the white skates.
Dude, just stick out. Who gives a shit? Stick out, right? Yeah. I mean, you know how it is?
Yeah, I got to say, I love it, man. I got them in the junior or before even the junior when I came here. And always stuck with them. I tried once to go in the black ones, and the trainer gave me even black tucks. That looked really weird. I really didn't like the way I looked, so I went back to white and stayed with it sometimes until now. Yeah.
You're not Martin Straka or Yogs back in the 90s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Martin
Rucinski.
That's
what I felt like when I was putting them on, and they were not pretty. But I had to try it, you know. I wanted to see how it's going to look. And
John LeClaire.
Oh, yeah.
When he black toots.
Hey, listen, are you a big talker on the ice? You chirp guys? And are guys chirping you left and right?
Yeah.
Like, how much of that is going on?
Yeah, they are.
I think they chirp more me than I them, because I don't know really how to chirp or fire that many good ones. I played with Jens last year, and that was amazing. The chirps he would throw out, it was... Sometimes I couldn't like hold my face straight, you know. I always like, I'm mean on the ice, you know. But the shit
you
he said,
Keith Yandel,
because you say Yandel, like the fans need to know.
Keith Yandel. So give me some good ones. Give me some good ones. He would give.
Oh, I can't even remember. That's how good it is, you know. I just can't even stop. You know, we had this. I don't know how to say it, man. I would say it wrong, and I might come out wrong. I can't.
So good.
Say it in Swedish.
Say it wrong.
But he's I think the best, one of the best, if not the best one that I've been part of team so far. He's hilarious.
Who's chirping you? Give me somebody
everyone.
Who just is relentless with you.
Oh, everyone, man. They like the worst ones are the like smaller guys that are like. Just like Nick Cousins, you know, guys like that, which I play with, you know, and I love playing with him because
great
he was
guy.
Like that to the other team, but now he's like that to me. I'm like, oh, fuck, Cousy. You know, like, I know what you're doing, but like, he's, you know, I like playing with him, and he's good at what he does, and I have this style of play. So I gotta say, I do love it, but I just can't really chirp. Myself, they're usually awful.
All you gotta say is this, dude. Like, especially the young kids, like, I'm gonna catch you with your fucking head down, humbug. Chirp my white skates all you fucking want. I'm fucking catch you, boy.
Yeah.
Like, get on with yourself.
I should use my social media and resume for sure.
Hey, Google me.
Google me, you fucking idiot. Like, keep your head down. Yeah. I'm going to get you, boy.
Hey, hey, how's Coach Q? You like playing for him?
Oh, man. Amazing. He's great. He reminds me the years when I played under Coop. You know, they have a lot of similar things, different style for sure, but a lot of similarities what I've seen. And gotta say, they have great results both. So there's gotta be something right in that range. I'm really enjoying playing for him and being part of his team.
Hey, man, Barkov, you get to practice with him every day. You guys got a great team, Huberto, man. I love watching you guys play. So, hey, real quick, last thing, because we had Christopher Stieg on here.
Uh-oh.
Your first NHL game, that's when you caught him. Like, I went back and watched the replay today. I didn't think it was that dirty of a hit. I know the announcer said the same thing. It's too bad that he got hurt and suffered a serious injury on that. But what do you think of that play? Like, your first ever NHL game, what are you thinking there?
Yeah, I wasn't really happy that he like stayed down, and I think he tried to go for the puck for the last second, but I was just too solid. I was doing myself. I had my first game, I had to make everything right, so I shield the puck, you know, and then in case necessary, and I'm coming out of the jungle too, you know, like in the minors, they're going after me to crush me, you know, like I was like Joe Fenley, you know, and big guys that are coming after me, so I just didn't feel great when they came after me when he stayed back. But you know, it was my first NHL game, and I stayed in the league after the game, so I must have done some right things.
Yeah, you're crushing guys, dude.
Killing guys.
Yeah, and you're getting puck eyes on you.
That's right. Alive, and you make a good first pass.
Like, yeah,
you get around the ice pretty good too, man.
Yeah,
so
you 10-2 it. I see it, boy, with them white skates.
Well, thanks for doing this, man. Listen, I hope you guys have a great year, and I appreciate you coming on here. I know people are going to enjoy this
and get a boat. Well, yeah, look, like you're talking about your fucking kids. Like, the kids want to be on a goddamn boat. Okay, you're in Florida. Get a boat. Put 50 G's down.
What kind of car are you driving?
I got a Maserati.
Oh, a Maserati. Is that
I
what
think
you
it's
said?
An Audi.
Oh, an Audi.
Yeah.
Oh, an Audi.
No, what is it? Maserati or an Audi?
Maserati.
Yeah, Maserati.
Oh, he did say it right the first time.
No, he's Maserati.
Hey, looking good. Yeah.
He's pimping.
That's what I'm talking about.
Kids love the sound. My boy loves the sound, so I love them. They might be picking my next car, so for sure. We'll see about the
Geo Metro.
Let them do it. All right, man. Listen, have a great year, okay? Enjoy the sun, right, and best of luck to
go
you.
Go do your thing, homeboy. We'll be watching, buddy.
Thanks for having me.
See you, dude.
See you guys.
Take care. Hey, what's up, everybody? That interview was brought to you by Daredevil Hockey and daredevilhockey.com. Use that promo code today, Cam and Strick. It's going to save you 25%. All caps, Cam and Strick, Daredevil Hockey. Get yourself protected today.
All right, that was Radko Gudas, presented by Hair Club, here on the Cam and Strick podcast. Dude, again, like, you just never know what you're going to get. I kind of had a feeling because we haven't had a guy on who wasn't like a good guy. They all are. Yeah. And I had heard about that. I heard he was a great guy for a long time, Radko Gudas. That wasn't the shock, man, but I just love his story. And he's a great talker and a great storyteller, man.
He's
and
good,
I feel like,
he's great,
you know, we know way more about him now than we did before we did the interview, you know?
Well, of course, because I've never talked to him before the interview ever in my life. So therefore, no matter what, I'm going to learn more about him. I mean, I played against a couple times, but that's about it. But yeah, he is a –
He scare you.
Look, anytime a guy could hit you and get you weird like that, I think we scared each other. You know, it's not like I'm going to – I could have jumped him, I guess. But, like, you know, he do so much damage in a fight, but hits, man, that like he can't avoid it. Like, even if you don't have the puck that much and you're still going to get it on the wall, you're still going to touch it and have to go up and get the red line and dump it in while he has that fat ass of his. He's not a fat ass, but that big, powerful butt, and he fucking catches you right in your goddamn, like, fucking, like, right in the side of your thing, your hip, and you're like, and you break a crack a rib, or you hit your fucking AC joint and it cracks, and you're like, oh, God, I got spasms. Ah. All because of one guy that could fucking hit you, man. Mm-hmm. It's scary. Just like what Bobby did to your fucking ass. Just like what Chaser did. Just like what I did to Andy. Like, come on.
Well, what you did was like...
That was gutless. Yeah, they all were pretty... Gutless. Your neck's not strong.
Chaser was very dirty.
Chaser got you worse than I did. Get on.
Yours was gutless, dude.
Chaser's what's got us. Chaser caught you like you coming up the fucking you're coming up the wall with your head down and he's sticking you that way. Like I just kind of like leaned you against the glass, but you just you have no stability and your neck's kind of like you couldn't protect yourself. And I didn't mean to be so violent against you. Chaser wanted to fucking knock you out, I think. He wanted to knock your ass out.
Yeah, but my response. He didn't knock you out though.
You ate that thing.
I play with a lot of fire though, wouldn't you say? Like when I got back up?
You got fucking pissed, dude. You grabbed me. I'm like, nah. I'm like, Andy, like, I'm sorry. I thought I was just gonna like kind of like get you a little bit, but your whole body like slammed into the glass. I'm like, oh Jesus. And if you really watch it slow, I'm like, oh, Kate's like, don't. I'm like, I'm sorry. I said sorry to Kate because she was like, what the? And I'm like, I was joking. No. It was more of a joke. I don't like to be that way.
People with
Chaser doesn't give a fuck, though.
15, 20 miles heard the collision.
They heard.
I mean,
it sounded loud.
Dude, it was the loudest. I'm sorry. Noise.
Are we going to release it to the people?
Heard. I don't know. It just
should we release it to the? I don't care. I fucked up.
I just want to release the sound.
No, you can't do just that. Because they need the context. No.
It should be like a drop that we have in the show. Like it should just be.
It was bad. Why
do you think he gets jumped all the time? Google. He says he gets jumped a lot.
Right. He does shit like I just did to you. That's why.
And that's what happens to you. See, you do that, then you get jumped. I jumped you.
Yeah, you did.
I jumped you.
You jump Gudas because nowadays that's what people do. And that drives me crazy. And I'll give you an example. Like if there's a solid clean hit and somebody gets rocked on your team and you're not a tough dude, and that's fine. You probably log 30 minutes a night and you make a ton of money and we love you. But don't waste anybody's fucking time when somebody lays a clean hit and you have to think that you have to stick up for your buddy who gets up. And not only did you get a 2-minute penalty because that was a clean hit, now you get the fucking, you're going to get 2, 5, and 10. You're booted out of the game and you didn't even throw a motherfucking punch. You just grab him like, what do I do? I need to do something. Throw him down. 2, 5, and 10. Fucking $7 million guy. Logging 25 or not because you couldn't, you didn't, you just don't know what you're doing. It's just such a waste. I hate seeing that so much. Let it boil down. Sometimes you got to take care of business. But if you do that and you get kicked out of the game and you don't even throw a punch after a clean hit, fucking dumb.
Okay, so all these athletes are coming out and saying, like, football players and NBA players that, like one player said he smoked 2 blunts before, like, every game. And yeah, so Percy Harvin, former wide receiver, said he never played 1 game in the NFL camp.
Oh, fuck. Sorry. Oh, my God. My cat's right here.
Dude, are you allergic to your cat?
I have been.
What was that?
That's a sneeze. Jesus.
That is not a sneeze. Are we cutting that out or are we leaving that?
Who cares? It's a fucking sneeze.
Okay, so listen. Percy Harvin said he didn't play 1 game in the NFL where he wasn't high.
All right.
Not 1.
Okay.
It helped him with the anxiety.
Of course.
With the crowd and everything.
Only thing it would fuck, it fucks my lungs up a little bit, but I never got stoned before games, but like. Because I wasn't.
Let's go back real quick because Riley Cote says, like, I mean, people throw out these stats, and listen, I understand what he's saying. He's saying 50% of all NHL players use cannabis or whatever, and so he said that. Like other people were like 90% of all NFL players and 85% of all NBA players. Well, if you just look at like the statistics throughout like society, like it shouldn't surprise you that athletes are using it too. I mean, just so many people in society that are using cannabis.
It doesn't
look right? It's legal. So my question is 50%, but all these guys talking about doing it before games, you think that you never saw that? You never did, you never smoked nothing like that?
No, I was taking painkillers. Like I never drank or I smoked a couple times, you know, before, but I didn't want to because I just felt like that was my only day that I wouldn't smoke during the day, you know. Hey, look at Nate Diaz will fucking smoke two blunts before he goes out there and goes toe to toe for fucking five rounds, 5 minutes apiece.
Is he UFC?
Yeah, he's fucking Jesus, Andy.
I think it's a little higher than 85% in the NBA. I mean, a little higher than that.
Yeah, I'll do. And they all smoke in UFC too.
This is what I was going to say. UFC, it's not.
They let you smoke. They let you smoke. Yeah, Nate Diaz lights a fucking doobie up after he fucking wins in the goddamn octagon. Fucking, they post shit all over.
I've never seen him do that. And I've watched a couple of these fights.
He did something crazy like. No, he did it at the post game. He's post after he won. He's fucking smoking his doobie there in Vegas. You're fucking right. He did. Get the fuck out of here. Sean O'Malley.
You said in the octagon, like right
after.
Yeah,
right. He might have had his trainer give him a smoke right there.
Maybe.
I think somebody did.
All right, Radko Gudas, man. Appreciate him coming on. He was great. Honestly, he was great. And we've got some other good ones coming for you, too. So be sure to keep it here on the Cam and Strick podcast. Again, www.camandstrickpod.com. That's how you hit us up on Instagram, Twitter. DMs are always open, man. Always open to feedback from our listeners. We absolutely love it. If you haven't heard all of them, you want to check out some older episodes, feel free to download some older episodes as well. Always give us that 5-star liking, drop a comment. Always open to that, man. We appreciate all the support we get. And hey, listen, now we're all of a sudden we're getting into hockey season, man. So more and more exciting things to come here throughout the fall and the winter here on the Cam and Strick podcast. It's always brought to you by Hair Club, as well as CarShield and CarShield.com. Mention that promo code Cam. You're going to save 10%. 10% for CarShield. You never know when something's going to go down, man. Get that membership today. Do it small. Do it long-term. Whatever you want to do. Customize it the way that you want it and that fits your budget and your needs. It doesn't cost a lot of money, but it saves you a ton of money. CarShield and CarShield.com. And, of course, our friends over there at Behlmann and Behlmann.com. Behlmann.com, baby. Dan Behlmann. He is the man. They call him Dan the man for a reason. You have a used car in your garage, man. You want to get rid of it. They will buy it today. Ton of selection. Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram. On one side of the street in Troy, Missouri, you just go over to the other side. You've got that Cadillac, Buick, GMC for Dan Behlmann, Dale, the whole crew, everybody there, man. The best customer service you'll get anywhere. So, again, Dan Behlmann. All right, this has been the Cam and Strick podcast, episode number 152. You have anything else to add before we leave, Cam, or are you just, you know?
No, I'm good, homie.
Okay.
I mean, fuck, we talked for 2.5 hours. What the fuck? I'm talking about smoking weed. I'm talking about, like, my hair loss. I'm talking about anything else. When we talk about, you know, me not being great in bed, my wife sometimes, stuff like that. Any personal shit
you want to get into? Your social issues are, they you need to work on
that. I worked on it.
All right, look out for my Halloween imitation. The Evite is coming today, so you see it.
I'll evaluate it.
Click on the yes.
Put in the trash, Kate.
Until next time, see you guys. Thanks for listening to the Cam and Strick podcast.